scratch about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, will you guys let me know if this ever airs?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Lisa, what was your favorite part of the Tim Matheson interview? Was it when Kevin asked about Tim's dead dad?
You know, my father passed away a few years ago.
Oh, did he? It's a good thing he didn't have to see that then.
I knew it.
I just wanted, I know. As soon as I said,
have you talked to your, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
Jesus. Well, it's a good thing he's dead then, so he doesn't have to see this.
He would never understand
the horror of going out. So it's good that he's dead, Tim. We're all really glad he's dead. We're happy he's dead.
Were you tempted to go, oh, good move, Kevin.
It's a good thing you're dead.
That's not what I meant.
When do you plan to die, Tim? We'll see your whole family go.
Tim, don't you wish your father had died earlier?
Your mom's dead too, isn't she, Tim? Pretty much an orphan now, aren't you?
Note to self, never ask Star about parents.
Note to self, when Star says dad is dead, never follow up with, it's good.
Kevin, God damn it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Lisa, do I have my pants on?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Roll another one.
We like to prolong the party around here.
Just like the other one.
Oh my goodness, that was crazy.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Something's got to be done about fun.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine.
The Bible says they're worthy of death.
Roll another one.
Let's burn this mother down.
Just like the other one.
That exchange meant nothing.
This one seems to be about.
I'm a drummer.
I don't have another sense.
This is an environment welcome, and you should just get the hell out of here.
Don't bogart that joint.
Why not be? This is America.
Just pass it around.
Kevin, please come over for gay sex.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
That's not brown rice.
Just pass it.
And now,
I loved McHale's Navy.
Our feature presentation. And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
That was fun.
Start things off the right way. You can't get enough of that one, can you?
I really could listen to that pretty much over and over.
It's pretty strong. Advertisers certainly get their money's worth when it comes to Lisa May. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a proud moment for me, I must say.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
Sounds like you're just grabbing random words.
That's what it felt like, too.
How is Beer Mug still standing? Look, I know I give the kid a hard time, but he literally hasn't had any solid food since Monday.
Oh, don't worry about that.
He is pale.
Don't worry about that. King of Mexico's bringing in plenty.
But besides that, besides how uncomfortable we want him to be today, I don't know that I could stop eating on Monday and still be standing on Friday. I don't know how he does it.
Well, I think that's a good question. I don't know either.
Could you imagine what he must feel like right now?
No. I don't think I've ever stopped eating for 5 days.
Yeah.
And yesterday he worked out and sat in a sauna.
But he had a brilliant plan, which is to come in here and really lower the expectations. You know, like, we expected nothing out of him.
True.
And then this week, when he can barely pay attention, it's just normal.
That's a good point.
No big deal.
Well, I'm shocked by it. I mean, I still hope he loses the bet, but I'm just amazed at what he's putting himself through this past week. And today, of course, is the final weigh-in. It is finally June 1st.
Wait until we tell you the wrinkle that happened yesterday, Bean, where Beer Mug is a cheating cheater who cheats.
Really?
Yep. Yep.
I can't wait. I can't wait to hear about that.
Yep.
And wait till I tell you what I found out that makes Kevin wrong.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's getting ugly now.
Wait,
it is on.
You found something after I left?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. Coming right back.
I can't wait to hear about this.
It's exciting.
Hey, let me give you a positive story that had a terrible beginning but ended up being positive. We haven't talked about this young man on the air lately, but I have a new hero. His name is Brian Banks. Lisa, I'm sure you've seen this story. This is the guy who served time for rape, and then it turned out that his accuser had made it up, and he was exonerated, was overturned. You heard about this guy,
right?
Yes, I did.
Yes.
One of the most impressive young men I've ever seen in my life. He went to Long Beach Prep, and he was a high school football star. In fact, he had already made a verbal commitment to go play for USC.
Before all the ugliness?
He was 17 at the time. Wow. Yes, he was playing in high school, was a huge star, and he had consensual sex with a girl in a stairwell at the high school. She claimed that it was rape. He had a lawyer, obviously, was on trial, and the lawyer said, look, you're a high school football star, you're a big guy, she's a little girl, she's very believable, they're going to see a scary black man in the box, and they're probably going to send you away for a long time, so you should plead no contest. And that's what he did. So he pled no contest. Because he could have had 40 years in jail if he had been convicted for this, right?
Right.
So he ended up doing 5.5 years or something like that, and then he got out, and now he's a convicted rapist. He's got to register as a sex offender. He's got the ankle bracelet on. And by the way, if the story ended here, how do you ever survive that if you really are innocent?
Was consensual? I don't know. I really don't know.
How do you ever survive that? And that's what's made this man a hero of mine, because I've seen him in a number of interviews where he talks about how, yeah, of course I was angry, but I just I wasn't hurting, literally wasn't hurting anybody in the world except myself by carrying that anger and bitterness around. And that's why I had to get past it.
That guy
and
I'm like, so much more grown up than I'll ever be.
Oh, my God.
So impressive. All right. So here's where the story gets really weird, Kevin, and this is going to blow your mind. Who does he get a Facebook friend request from last year?
The girl that lied?
Yes. Who said, I want to get together and talk about this and let bygones be bygones. And she came to him and she said, look, I feel bad about making up the story that you did, because you didn't rape me. And we both know that. I feel bad about it.
You know, that 5.5 years you spent in prison, that was on me. My bad.
Bygones be bygones.
Yeah. The 5.5 years, by the way, that he should have been a football star for USC and then looked to be recruited by the NFL, right? I mean, the best years of anyone's life, but in particular, a young athlete.
Right.
So she's like, if there's anything I can do to help you, because he was having trouble getting work, you know, the whole deal. But she says, but I can't go to the prosecutors. I can't go to the police because I got this huge payout because the school system had paid her like $1 million or something like that because of because she was raped on their property. So he figured out a way to get her to tell the story again, this time in front of a microphone.
Oh, he recorded it without her knowing?
Yes. Oh, so he recorded it, and they ended up they still haven't made any kind of decision, by the way, about prosecuting this girl or trying to get the money back or anything like that. But he did get in touch with the Innocence Project, and they were able to work within the system to have the verdict completely overturned. So now he is completely exonerated.
Ah, so he no longer has to register as a sex offender.
Exactly. All of that is gone now. Right. So he's been on TV the last week or so. He went on the Today Show, and he's like, all I want is a chance to play football. I stayed in shape. I did nothing but think about it the whole time I was in prison. And the reason I bring it up today is because yesterday, his old friend Pete Carroll, who was the guy who wanted him to play for USC, said, come on up and try out for the Seahawks.
No,
so at least
kidding.
He's going to have the opportunity to try out in front of an NFL team.
Well, minor league NFL, but come on now.
Let's face it, he hasn't been playing football for 10 years, so his football skills, no matter what kind of shape you're in, your football skills are not exactly ready for the pros
right.
If you're essentially a civilian at this point. But after the Seahawks came out, then the Redskins came out,
Then
the Chiefs contacted him, then the Dolphins contacted him, and he's going to get a chance to at least go around and meet some of these people and tell their story, and he'll probably be an inspiration to their players as well.
That's
I don't know what's going to
cool.
happen with him, but yeah, really impressive young man. His name is Brian Banks, and I wish nothing but the best for him.
I can't believe that they aren't going to prosecute her.
I can't either.
I mean, wow. They
Isn't that
have
something?
To.
We've talked about this on the show before. If you lie and send somebody to jail, you should have to go to jail for twice as long as whatever their crime was that you're accusing them of. That's
I love
my,
that.
That's
I
my
think
rule.
It's great.
That seems like a random rule, but I'm down with it.
She put this guy behind bars for over 5 years and took $1 million of your wow. taxpayer dollars.
And you know what her attitude is today? I reached out to him and I tried to help him, and this is what he does.
Yeah.
I tried
do you
to
know
be
that?
His
is
friend.
That really what? Is that really what her attitude
I
is?
I guarantee you that's her attitude.
She doesn't know, but that's a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, good times.
Wow.
Yep.
This is why I drink. This is why I drink.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Me Show, shall we?
Is this your idea of getting jiggy with it?
Yes, as a matter of fact. We have highlights of Stryker's interview with Jack White. I don't know if you saw that on the website. It's quite a good interview. And Jack White, of course, a genius.
Yeah.
So
yes.
That's very cool.
Interesting dude.
We have Colin Hanks coming in the studio talking about high school.
Awesome.
New movie that's
I love
coming
him.
Out.
Yeah.
I love him, too.
And great actor.
Kings fan as well, so that makes me happy. Jeffrey Dean Morgan on the program today talking about Magic City.
He's the guy who killed and ate all those kids in Wisconsin, right?
No. That was Jeffrey Dahmer.
Think so.
That was
oh,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Different guy. Okay,
Jeffrey
gotcha.
Dean
confused.
Morgan,
gotcha.
Actor.
I was thinking. I was wondering why we're having him on. That just seems so random. Okay.
Do you have an escape plan for when the zombies take over? You have that
no,
plan ready.
I think I need one based on the story that came out yesterday about that student in Baltimore who ate his friend's brain and heart.
What's happening?
Every
what is
day
happening?
There's a story.
It's like six stories in Florida. Now this one in Baltimore.
Yes.
Oh, it's happening, people. The Walking Dead is happening for real.
It's happening.
Season three, they're just going to turn on the cameras and walk around.
Yes.
Sugar Ray Leonard, boxing legend on the program today.
How about that? Champion and not only Olympic gold medalist, champion in five weight classes in the Boxing Hall of Fame, one of the all-time greats. And by the way, I'll mention this to him. Doesn't look like he's aged a day
he
in
hasn't.
The last 30.
Yeah, he hasn't.
What's that deal?
Deal with the devil. Movie Beat, because it is Friday, we're going to talk about maybe the best movie of all time, coming up just after the top of the hour, which is Piranha 3DD.
Yay!
And we have the Beer Mug Weigh-In. The
Yay!
Final, the very final Beer Mug Weigh-In. So this is it. He stands on the scale. He pays me $100. He pays
nope.
Dave $100.
Nope.
All are happy.
The great David Koechner from, well, almost all of the most recent Will Ferrell movies for the past few years. And, of course, the new Piranha 3DD opening up today joins us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. Ruff, you've known Keck for years, right?
Yeah. Gosh, now about 15 years, I guess.
Great
good guy.
Yeah, great guy. Anyway, he'll be joining us talking about that movie on the way. Ruff is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday.
I mentioned yesterday that Justin Bieber was getting his own television special on NBC called All Around the World. Following the Beepster on a 12-day concert tour that took him to seven countries. What I didn't mention, which because I didn't know, but NBC has announced they will be introducing the Justin Cam.
Oh,
no.
I don't like the way that
That's
sounds.
That's just not yes. good.
Which NBC says will give you a visual of just what Justin sees when he looks out in the audience and what he looks
yes.
when he sees backstage.
Hmm. All right.
And what he sees when he sees a guy's belt buckle.
Repeatedly.
Did you see the reports of that Norway deal with dozens of people going to the hospital?
No.
It was a riot. It's insane.
15,000 screaming girls invaded Oslo, Norway Wednesday night for his concert there. It caused the cell phone network to go down.
Wow. Not to mention Justin.
Because all the girls were contacting each other about the show. Crashed the cell phone network in Oslo, Norway.
That isn't good for you.
No,
Terry
don't get me
Vince
wrong.
Is down.
Oslo, Norway, I'm sure, is not equipped for, you know.
No.
You know, real life. It's a little it's a little dinky backwater town made out of ice and mint.
Only one person can be on the internet at a time.
Yes.
Be less
it is,
true,
it is
by
a
way.
Third world country, Norway. Don't get me wrong. But... Yeah, kids were getting trampled, and the mayor of Oslo said he had to hide behind a large tree so he wouldn't get trampled by screaming fans.
If you're the mayor, do you come out and say, I'm hiding behind a tree?
No, you don't.
Ever?
Well, obviously, he doesn't have any security staff because he's the
wow.
mayor of Oslo, which, again, is made out of ice and mint.
It's true.
Yes, it's a true fact. The good news about Justin Bieber is he knocked himself unconscious after crashing into a glass wall in Paris yesterday.
All right. One of those deals where he thought the door was open or something?
Yes. Yeah, it was a glass wall. that he walked straight into and smacked his head into.
Love it.
He passed out backstage.
Love it even more.
Was unresponsive.
Whoa. Better.
Doctors told him he had suffered a severe concussion and he should take it easy and have keep someone nearby as he recovered because he didn't want to, you know, lapse into the forever nap.
Although
he really
that
was
would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
Unconscious backstage and then went back out and finished the concert.
Bean has more information on this story than Ralph does.
Of course he does.
And Ralph has brought us a lot of information on this one.
Of course he does.
I agree.
I feel good.
Loser! You're a loser! Are you feeling sorry for yourself? Well, you should be because you are dirt! You make me sick, you big baby!
More music news. Usher's divorce from Tamika Foster is getting ugly. She is threatening to spill the names of celebrity women he cheated on her with in the course of their 2-year marriage in court.
Yes, please.
She doesn't get what she wants. Look, I don't like blackmail used in divorce proceedings, but go ahead. We all want to know.
Yeah.
Do it.
What's the downside, really?
Word is, however, her plan is backfiring.
Oh.
Because everyone, the opinion is the people in the courtroom is that it's making her look bad, her behavior, and that people are testifying that her behavior can be erratic and she's seeming to be out of control.
Is that right?
So she may not be getting what she wants with these kind of shenanigans. And speaking of backfiring, my favorite story of the day by far. Remember the 1 million moms?
Oh, yeah.
They called for a boycott of JCPenney, the department store, because they hired Ellen DeGeneres as the brand spokesperson.
Yeah, we came out and we said, JCPenney, why don't you just hang in there? And they did. And they said, Million Man March, hit the road.
Not the Million Man March at all. The 1 million moms.
1 million moms, hit the road. Pound dirt.
They, turns out that the company had a better public perception by the fact that they did not buckle into the 1 million moms than they had before the controversy.
That's so good.
So being supportive of gays may actually be good for business. And with that in mind, JCPenney announced yesterday their new Father's Day ad, which features a real-life gay couple, Todd Koch.
Careful.
That's
careful.
Too good to be true.
Todd Koch and Cooper Smith, real-life dads with their 2 kids. And the ad copy reads, what makes dad so cool? He's the swim coach, tent maker, best friend, bike fixer, and hug giver all rolled into 1 or 2. And so they're featuring a real-life gay couple, 2 dads with their kids for the Father's Day ad.
I love it so much.
It's almost a big F you to the 1 million moms, which is kind of awesome.
Their heads are going to
burst
into flames.
When bad people do bad things and then it backfires on them, I love it.
Yes.
That is very gay.
I'm sorry, what was the gentleman's name again, Ralph? I'm just trying to take notes here.
I'm guessing it's Todd Koch, K-O-C-H.
Okay. But it could be.
Sometimes it's pronounced Cook, and sometimes Cock.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know how
you
Todd.
You haven't checked yet?
I don't know how Todd pronounces
All
it.
Right.
Understood.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Alanis Morissette is 38 years old today. TV personality Heidi Klum turns 39. Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones is 65 years old today.
65? He looked 65 the day I was born.
Well, he's had a hard run.
Wow. Do you know who Ron Wood is, Kevin?
Yes.
You would recognize Ron Wood if you saw a photo of him.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think
so. Or are you
so.
Thinking of Keith Richards?
No, I know who Keith Richards is.
This is astonishing to me. Ralph?
Kevin
knows
stuff.
Who Ron Wood is?
Yes.
What?
Okay. All right, if you say so.
He thinks he's in the Million Man March, but still, he knows who Ron Wood is. And actor Morgan Freeman is 75 years old today.
Andy Dufresne is my friend.
He's 75. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One of America's greatest all-time athletes, Olympic gold medalist Sugar Ray Leonard, joins us coming up next year on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. That means Ralph is here with the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
We were just talking about Piranha 3DD with our buddy Dave Koechner. Obviously, that is the film of the weekend. That's the one to go see this weekend, obviously. But there are some other options if you want to check out another film. Like, for example, there's Dave's movie.
Dave's movie.
That I like, as I like to call Battlefield America. This is some BS right here, this Battlefield America.
Oh, this could be bad enough to be good, though.
This is the movie that rips the lid off of the underground world of dance
battle competitions featuring kids under the age of 12. The street battles of dancing with tiny kids.
So, like, step up for little people,
yes.
Basically.
Okay. Yeah, step down,
or
I call
served.
It. You got served juice and cookies.
We started watching the trailer, and it looks so bad, but then it came around, and we were like, wow.
Never came around, by the way.
Me.
No.
And
this is your battlefield. Let's save it for the battlefield. There's no battlefields. You're eight.
This isn't a battlefield. This isn't a battle. This is a war.
Kids like waiting for each other outside Chuck E. Cheese's and pushing each other around. It's just a BS.
It looks terrible.
A businessman gets a community service sentence, so he finds a group of misfit kids who need mentoring and teaches them how to fight on the battlefields of dance in the underground dance battle circuit for
like
8-year-olds. F this movie. Here's some clips from the trailer from Battlefield America.
This is our house and nobody's taking it from us, right?
Yeah! This is the biggest Battlefield America in history.
Fight. Hey, call it a fight now.
Get out of here.
Ha. He won.
We gonna show them tonight? It's our battlefield.
Yeah!
May the best crew win. This ain't a battle. This is war.
Come on. This is the biggest Battlefield America ever because this does not exist and it's never been anywhere else before.
Now, is Dave just funning or would he really plop down his money and go see
that? He is absolutely excited about this project.
It was, in his defense, Dave and I sat there watching the trailer and we were like, this is the kind of movie we like to go to because we like to watch the dancing, but it looks like the worst movie ever. But we have to go because it might be the worst movie ever.
I wish you all a painful rectal itch. High school opens this weekend. They're in school, and they get high at the high school. Here's the premise. There's a valedictorian who's going to get tossed out of school because he tried getting stoned coincidentally the same time they were going to do a mandatory drug test at his school. So he and his buddy, who's a real stoner, come up with a genius idea to nullify the results of the drug test.
What if we walked in tomorrow and failed the drug test and no one even noticed? What if you could fail and still be valedictorian and still go to MIT?
Jesus Christ. You're high again.
Yeah, I'm always
high. Dude, that's a stoner fantasy, man. How could I fail a drug test and no one care?
If everyone fails.
Of course.
If we can't pass the test, fine. Let's get the whole school high.
Oh my God, please tell me you're kidding.
Tomorrow's the bake sale, right? We swap in Bud Brownies. Everyone gets blazed, everyone fails. They'll have to throw the test results away.
Genius! Chaos ensues at high school. Michael Chiklis stars as the uptight principal, Adrian Brody as a hilarious drug dealer, and Colin Hanks, who we'll be talking to later in the show, also stars in high school. And finally this weekend, Snow White and the Huntsman. Charlize Theron is the evil queen. I'll take evil every day.
And she's threatened by who?
Kristen Stewart, who's the most beautiful girl in the land.
No.
Yep.
No, sir.
So
yeah.
Much prettier than Charlize,
no,
though, right?
Sir.
Oh, she's the most beautiful girl in the land.
No, sir.
Yes.
No,
And her beauty can break the spell that the evil queen has over her kingdom.
Not a chance in a billion years.
So she has to be banished. So she asks Thor to take the girl from Twilight out in the woods and kill her.
No, sir.
But Thor doesn't follow through. I get the sense. If I remember the story correctly, I don't believe the Huntsman ends up killing Snow White. Here's the scene from the film where Chris Hemsworth, of course, Thor, in the Avengers films, now plays the Huntsman. He is being commanded by the evil queen, Charlize Theron, to take Kristen Stewart out and do what we all want done to her.
One of my prisoners has escaped there.
Oh, and he's dead.
She.
She is certainly dead.
Find her. Bring her to me.
Well, I've been to that forest. I'm not going back.
You will be rewarded handsomely.
What good is gold to me if I'm lying dead with the crows picking at my eyes? Why is she of such value?
That is none of your concern.
I'll determine what concerns me, thank you.
You will do this for me, Huntsman.
And if I refuse...
Why is the queen yelling at Shrek to kill the girl from Twilight? I don't understand this film at all.
I don't know, but I hope he follows through with it.
I'm just saying, Charlize Theron asked me to go in the woods to kill somebody. I'm doing it. Because look at her. Yeah. Snow White and the Huntsman opens up this weekend as well. But as I mentioned, Piranha 3D. Double 3D. Come on.
Whatever
that's called, go see it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman Movie Beat.
Not a lot of people left around.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 7.
So much show coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including actor Colin Hanks will be here. Also, Jeffrey Dean Morgan on the program talking about Magic City. We'll get your tips on a zombie escape plan, which, by the way, I think everyone listening should have their zombie escape plan in motion the way the news has been lately. All of that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we could not be more delighted to welcome back to the program a guy we haven't talked to in a couple years, Sugar Ray Leonard, one of America's all-time greatest boxers, out with a new book now called The Big Fight, My Life in and Out of the Ring. Hey, Ray, how are you, man?
I'm doing fine. Has it been that long?
It's been a while. Been a while since we talked to you. I have two things to get going right out of the gate. And the first is I need to hear about this deal with the devil you made. We were talking about you earlier today. How is it you haven't aged a day in like 30 years? I mean, I know black don't crack and all that, but seriously, you're ridiculous that you still look the same. What's the deal?
I think it's attitude. I think that helps.
Yeah.
I think having grandkids help.
You're a grandpa?
I have four grandkids.
You're still 22.
I don't know about the joints, but for the most part.
That pretty face has never looked better than it does right now.
One of the things I was fascinated with was the fact that you were a Muhammad Ali fan, and from him you got the, I need to make sure that the moneymaker, the face, doesn't get messed up. Like, that was a big deal, and it was, you were aggressively trying to avoid that, right?
You know, Muhammad was my idol without question. Still is my idol. I just looked up to him as the perfect role model, the perfect mold to perfect. I mean, he was just the guy, because he wasn't just a boxer. He was, you know, poet. He was, he was technician. He was all those things.
Mm-hmm. And you guys had the same trainer, too, a man who just passed away this year, right?
Yeah, Angelo Dundee. I mean, Angelo Dundee was such an asset to my career. And his value wasn't training. His value was saying the right thing at the right time in the corner, being not stressed out, but knowing exactly what to say to me or to Muhammad or to the fighter.
Yeah.
That was priceless.
Is it true when you were coming up, when you were growing up, of course, race relations were at an all-time low, I would say. And and you actually took, not classes, but training in how to deal with interviews and how to, you know, how to talk so that it made sense so that you could have a life after boxing?
Well, that was real way back in the early 70s when things were not as, you know, nice as they are, I should say. But no, I took classes, not really classes per se, but this guy who I worked for, Roland Kenner, had Derek Holmes, who was a good friend of mine, boxer. He said, you know, you guys have to separate yourselves from the other fighters. You got to know how to speak, what to say, how to answer, how to pause. And we had probably maybe a good week or two of those drills, and it proved to be correct.
Well, there's hardly a professional athlete in the world today who doesn't get media training. I mean, that just kind of goes with the territory, but that must have been the early days of it.
Oh, without question. It didn't exist back then.
I was fascinated to read, Ray, how you planned on retiring from boxing after you won your Olympic gold medal. It was not a career that you thought, but that you had trouble finding something else that you either could do or people would let you do or that you were passionate about and decided to get back into it, right?
Well, yeah, because when I won the gold medal in Montreal and the Olympics, it was kind of bittersweet because I knew that was my last fight because I was going to go to the University of Maryland to further my education, get a good job. Because I didn't want to be one of those boxers, because I've heard so many horrible stories about these guys, you know, making all this money. Then when it's all said and done, they're broke, they're on the street, they're homeless. I just didn't want that to happen to me. And plus my hands were pretty fragile. But my dad was sick. We had no money. And the fastest way we could make money was boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to boxing.
Talking to Sugar Ray Leonard about his book, The Big Fight, My Life in and Out of the Ring. Have I seen you at UFC fights? I have, haven't I?
Yes.
You love it? Like it?
Love it.
Love it?
I love it.
Could you have ever done that?
I don't think so.
Really?
too many disciplines? Is that why?
I just don't think that was my thing. It's one of those things.
Does it make you sad as a lifelong boxing fan to see the decline in interest in the sport from most sports fans these days with the rise of things like USC?
Without question. I mean, because, you know, boxing is my life. It was my life. It enabled me to be in the position that I am. And now, you know, it's just – but boxing is resilient, and there are always another young Ray or another young Muhammad around the corner.
Mm-hmm. And you, as I understand, you know Floyd Mayweather a little bit, right?
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, why doesn't he? Why can't you get him to fight Pacquiao then? Why can't he look up to you and go, "Hey, you're a legend. You're telling me I should do it. I'm going to do it." Because you speak for so many people when you say he's going to regret for the rest of his life if he doesn't.
I really don't know. I don't think anyone knows except, you know, Mayweather's camp or Pacquiao's camp. But, you know, from a fight fan perspective,
yeah,
that's a fight that is needed or wanted so bad. Will it save boxing? Not necessarily. One fight won't save boxing, but it will indeed be one of those moments in history.
Right. Well, we know you got to go. Unfortunately, we never have enough time with you. But Sugar Ray Leonard, the book is The Big Fight, My Life in and Out of the Ring. I'm not really a reader. I don't read. But this is fascinating.
It is. You've had an extraordinary life, Ray. Man, I thank you so much for taking the time to not only put that down on paper, but come on the Kevin and Bean Show and talk to us about it today.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
We will.
Come on.
What are you eating there, Kev? What are you eating?
What?
What are you eating there?
Pizza. This
pizza.
Is good.
That looks good.
That looks delicious.
Yeah, it smells very great.
You want some mugs?
F you.
Oh, this is good.
It's no way to treat a guy who just offered you a piece of pizza.
Don't you like pizza? Love pizza, but
then why are you so angry?
Huh? I got to weigh in at 9.
I'm just saying a piece wouldn't hurt.
Once we're done with this weigh-in shtick that we've been doing for like, what, 2 years now?
We've been doing this big about 2 years. Yeah.
Then we can fire Mug, right?
Yeah, come on!
Then his usefulness is really over, right?
Come wholeheartedly.
On. Okay.
Plus, he's too thin. He creeps me out. I want to get somebody regular sized in here to work the controls. All right, weigh-in. Yeah, today is June 1st, so today we find out if Beer Mug lost the weight that he said he would or has to pay the man. That's coming up. Your zombie escape plan next hour, because now we really need one, and actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Once again, people, it's the difference between cannibals and zombies.
Talking about zombies this time, though, the guy in Maryland who ate his friend's heart and brain.
Yeah, but that guy wasn't the undead.
You don't know, man.
He's just a cannibal.
There's something honked up about him.
Yeah, he's a cannibal. That's pretty honked up. Is that honked up enough for people? Do they have to be zombies on top of it?
Look, if people are eating other people's brains, to me, I'll use the same escape plan.
Yeah, for the brain eaters, whether they're the undead or not?
Right. If there's a cannibal that comes to my house, I'm not just going to go, oh, great, he's not undead. Go ahead and eat my brain.
For a cannibal, you could probably, you know, talk him out of it.
Reason with him.
Yeah. The undead, they're just like, you know.
Yeah.
Just, yeah, exactly. There's machines, eating machines.
Stop Have
eating,
some pizza, Kevin. Mugs, while you're there.
Speaking of eating, that looks good, that pizza.
You want some?
No, I'm good for now. But things to do.
Very good.
It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Good news for Matthew Fox of Lost. That female bus driver who was suing him for assault dropped her lawsuit against him.
Is that right?
Yeah, he countersued for defamation when she went public with the altercation. Now, both lawsuits have been dropped, so maybe there was some check writing or exchanging.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Currency there. Sounds like everyone agreed to go their separate ways, and usually that doesn't happen without a little payout for somebody. Kanye West and porn star Kim Kardashian ready to move in together after 2 months of dating.
Is that what their PR people are suggesting?
Well, TMZ.com says they've both put their homes up on the market.
Right.
And rumor has it they're on the hunt for a new place together.
Well, they have been dating for what? Six weeks?
2 months. Yeah. I hope they do it and then break up so they have to sell that place. And then just anything that makes their lives more complicated and uncomfortable, I'm all for. So
imagine how desperate Kim Kardashian must be to get married again, by the way.
I guess.
She loved all that attention. She made so much money off it. She wants to have kids.
Can you imagine a Kanye-Kim Kardashian wedding? What kind of attention that would get her?
Oh, my God.
But then the backlash being was harsh on her after that.
Yeah, but she's forgotten about that already. That rolls off of her.
But if this fails, it'll be even worse.
No, you're right, Ralph. That would be a fascinating wedding because both of them would want all the attention to be on them. They'd have to hold it separately.
You wouldn't have to do separate weddings.
It'd be a new record. She would. The marriage wouldn't last through the reception. They would have to be separated by the end of the first dance because they'd be so at each other's throats with.
Why are you getting in my picture? They're taking a picture of me. Get out of here.
Yeah. While we're talking about attention whores, Jersey Shore. Word is from the set, not going well in the latest season of Jersey Shore. They're currently filming. Yeah.
Is there some fighting?
There is.
Yeah.
Sammy and Ronnie are planning on staying in the same room.
Obviously.
But the other living arrangements have been altered significantly. Vinny, by the way, is not coming back happily. He's coming back only under
duress.
Threat of legal action because he has a contract. Mike Sorrentino is asking if he can bring a sober coach with him to the Jersey Shore house. And, of course, Snooki will be living in a separate Jersey Shore house because she's pregnant. This sounds like just a train wreck.
I hate to see bad things
MTV just trying to
happen.
Milk everything out they can out of this group of people.
I hate to see bad things happen to such good people.
Yeah, me too. And the producers of Dancing with the Stars have announced they're putting together an all-star show. Finally.
An all-star show of the shows where there weren't any stars?
Yes. Yeah. You know all the other celebrities who weren't celebrities on that show? They're going to take the best of those and put them all into a show without celebrities.
So here's your Mike Catherwood's coming back to my TV?
Not even that level of stardom.
Loveline, Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Here is their dream list for the all-star edition of Dancing with the Stars. Melissa Rycroft.
Don't know her.
And she is...
Doesn't matter.
I think she was a bachelorette.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
Giles Marini.
I'm sorry. This is
Giles Marini?
Is this the all-star list?
Yes, it's the all-star list. Kyle Massey.
He was the Disney star. I remember
Chelsea
him.
Kane.
Again, another Disney person.
Bristol Palin.
Yeah.
Kelly Osbourne and Mario Lopez. That's who they're looking to get for the all-star list.
Wow.
Who gives a damn?
That all is, the big ones.
That is not an all-star list.
That is not. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alanis Morissette is 38 years old today.
Still hot, right, Alanis?
Yes, and still super talented. Yeah. I think she's just the best. Although she's very pro breastfeeding.
All right.
To like you're like 16. She wants to breastfeed.
So you're 16?
Yeah,
oh, she's one of those.
One of those. She's like way big on the breast milk.
How does she feel about it for guys my age?
Hello.
Hey.
Oh. Oh.
I'm just...
All right, that's creepy.
Ralph's out now. He can't even continue with the birthdays.
Right?
Come on, Ralph.
When it comes to making jokes like that, you ought to know. No,
oh,
I'm just saying.
Oh God,
I'm just saying.
Oh, my God,
Miles. It's inappropriate.
Isn't it ironic that you would go there and you would make that joke?
No. That from you, too.
Listen, I got one hand in my pocket and the other one's doing this, all right? That's all you need to know.
I'm out.
Heidi Klum's 39 years old today. Guitarist Ron Wood is 65 years old. And Morgan Freeman celebrates his 75th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Did I say zombies? Yes. The undead who walk among us, devouring the innocent and spreading their foul condition through the ranks of humanity.
They're mindless walking corpses and zombies, man. They creep me out.
I could hear them. They're always out there.
It's like they're pretending to be alive.
Is everyone dead?
Dead-ish.
Any zombies out there?
Look at the face. It's vacant with a hint of sadness.
The dead who live on living flesh.
They're a guided weapon. Once they lock on you, they're going to come after you until one of two things happens. Either they're destroyed or you are.
Bad news, guys. It's on. The zombie apocalypse is happening. It's no longer the stuff of the future. It's no longer fantasy. It's no longer just on TV. It's here and it's happening. And we need a plan and we need one now. Are you with me?
Most of it is happening in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. When we saw the bath salts guy who ate the other guy's face, I thought, well, it's in Florida. It'll take him a long time to cover 3,000 miles. And now it's in Maryland, which is, you know, about the same distance from us. But still, it's on the move. Listen to this. In yet another horrifying incident of human flesh eating this week, a student in Maryland allegedly admitted to devouring his roommate's brain and heart.
Points out, and rightfully so, that these are people who are alive, which means they're cannibals. They're not zombies. Do we care?
As far as we know.
As far as we know.
as far as we know. Right. I think you made an excellent point, though, which is you're going to want to stay away from the cannibals just as much as you're going to stay away from the zombies. You need as much of a plan to stop this guy from eating your heart as you do from a zombie from eating your heart.
Maybe even more.
I think if a cannibal...
Because you can't spot him.
If a cannibal comes to my house to eat my brain, I'm not going to go, oh, you're not a zombie, come on in.
Right, exactly.
So I still need the same escape plan.
This guy, Alexander Cunha, 21 years old, by the way, he murdered his roommate. The man's father called police late Tuesday night when another family member reportedly found human remains, the head and two hands of the roommate, in a metal tin in the basement. The brother and father left the room for a short time. When they came back, the body parts had been moved, and Kenya was washing out the tin. Then he confessed this shocking revelation. Not only had he killed his roommate by cutting him up with a knife and then dismembering him, he had ingested parts of the victim's brain and all of his heart. It is on... What's the plan? Seriously, I'm taking notes. What are we doing? What's the deal here?
Now, we've done this before, and it was shocking the first time we did this to find out the number of people who literally have an escape plan for the zombies.
Yes, it's in place.
They thought about
it. They're ready to go.
Not only are they just a little worried about it, they've got a plan.
As you should, just like you should be prepared in the event of an actual earthquake. These things might just happen, and the people who don't have a plan, you know what they call them? Dead.
Dead, yeah. Zombies, that's what you call them. We somehow got Cat Corbett out of bed this early. I'm not sure how. Cat, good morning.
I'll tell you how. We caught her on her way home. That's how. Hi, beautiful. How are you?
I hope a zombie attack happens at 5 p.m. because I'll be ready.
So we were talking exactly about this yesterday, and you piped up with the fact that you have a zombie escape plan.
Yeah, I'm a huge zombie person, and, you know, everybody should have a zombie kit at home.
I
tell everybody it's my earthquake kit so they don't think I'm nuts.
And what's in it? What's in your kit?
Yeah, what's in the zombie kit?
Well, you know, it's like similar earthquake stuff. Like, you want to have a little first aid thing and, like, a flashlight, you know.
An axe.
Matches. I have a crowbar, you know, the cricket mallet, the croquet mallet.
Yeah.
What do you have a croquet mallet, though, is going to take like 10 hits to get him to die. Why don't you get something stronger, like an axe?
No, I mean, you know, I need a machete is what I need. I just
okay.
don't want to buy one.
Machete, all right.
Look, part of the problem for me is that there have been a lot of different representations of zombies over the years between movies and television. I mean, right now I'm thinking Walking Dead, and I feel like I need a gun. I really do feel like that's the way to go, is to shoot them in the head. I feel like without a gun, I don't have much chance on my own with just me and my croquet mallet of taking on a zombie.
But problem is guns are loud, and they signal more zombies to come to you.
But, and if I've learned anything from The Walking Dead, the value of a gun is that it scares everybody and they run off. That's the value of a gun, but not zombies. You shoot one guy,
They
just keep coming.
Yeah.
So you're going to run out of bullets. That's why you need an axe or
a
machete.
Where are you going to be? Are you fortifying your own home for Zombie Central, or do you have another safe place that you're going to try to get to in the event of a breakout?
Well, here's the thing, and strangely, our promotions director, Aisa, and I came up with the same plan at the same time, and we compared notes, and we were all thinking the same thing. So after my house becomes unsafe, And I can say this aloud, but I'm not letting anybody in that doesn't have a key card. I'm going to K-Rock.
You're coming to the radio station.
Oh, really? Now, that makes a lot of sense because it is a fortified building with a couple of layers of fencing before you get to our front door, right?
And the fencing is curved out, so you can't climb up it.
Right. But what about the fact that... What about the fact that every person who's mentally ill is able to somehow get inside?
No, those are just the DJs, Kevin.
Does that not worry you?
Look, listen to the thing about K-Rock, right? We have the fence.
Yeah.
We have two huge generators for backup. All the windows are covered in steel grates.
Right.
Because we're in the hood.
Right. We have a flat roof that you can access from the inside where helicopters can land. Or
I like
smart.
Like
she's thought this through.
You have a sniper rifle.
We definitely have enough Red Bull to last us a month.
That's true. This makes a lot of sense. I mean, there are couches to sleep on. There's a working kitchen that has a refrigerator.
And there are cabinets with food that are locked so that
we
can break those open.
Right. Yeah, we have the microphones, which communication is going to be huge because we don't know if Is the internet going to be working?
Right.
Good point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Good so point. We could call for help or coordinate rescue efforts or whatever we need to do. Yeah, that's a really good idea. Let me ask you this question, and this is Kat Corbett talking about her zombie escape plan on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be taking your calls, too, with what you've got up at 1-800-520-1067. And this is a serious question, Kat, and I want a serious answer, okay?
Yeah.
You know, the morning show is a little bit on the outside. We're a little bit of the team that you're embarrassed about. Has there been a meeting at K-Rock that we don't know about where it's been decided who gets to come to K-Rock and who doesn't?
A meeting.
Oh, no, we're out.
See, that's what I was afraid of, Kevin. Is
we're out.
The whole morning show or just Kat, the guys?
Striker and Sluggo and Nicole and everybody be yucking it up thinking about how Kevin and Bean are probably dead by now on the outside.
But Kat, you'll let me in.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
Kevin
did.
I'm saved. All right, we're going to take calls on your zombie escape plan. What are we missing here? What should we be doing? Because apparently it is happening. 1-800-520-1067. So what do you do now, Kat? Do you stay awake and come in to do your show, or do you try to go back to bed and sleep for another couple of hours?
I'm going to try to go back to sleep.
Okay.
Good luck with
that. We'll see you soon.
Be productive.
Bye. See you later. Thank you, Kat.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls.
Come on. Seriously. Stop. Stop.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Nice. Kevin and Bean Show. Have a little pizza. Learning about history.
Beerbug's weigh-in is later on today, so Kevin is eating as much food as possible as he can in front of him.
Smells good, doesn't it?
There's pizza, there's donuts, there's cupcakes, there's ho-hos.
Help yourself, Muggs.
I can't.
No one's stopping you. It's all yours, man.
All for you.
7:25 here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Gay ZMB, all zombie radio.
Talking about the upcoming zombie invasion. By the way, I'm getting a lot of emails from people who are saying, Bean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but you made the right call. Zombies can't swim. Good job living on an island.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
And I'm sorry to say there is no more room on the island. I'm sorry. We're all full up.
It's funny because you usually say that it's pretty empty.
Nope, full up. Huh. Let's go to Ethan real quick. He's on line 7. We're taking your zombie escape plan calls at 1-800-520-1067. And as Kevin mentioned a few minutes ago, every time we talk about this topic comes up like it has in the news recently, we find out that people have really given this a lot of thought. People have a plan.
The first time we were shocked by this. The first time we thought we'd get no calls or one
or
person.
Or just a joke.
But these people have thought this through.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Ethan, I think it sounds like you're really onto something. Can you share it with us, please?
Yeah, my plan is if there's an outbreak, a zombie outbreak, the first thing you do, of course, is get supplies, guns, food, everything like that. But the second part of my plan, me and a couple friends actually work this all out together. We go to IKEA. It's a furniture store. The one in Burbank where I live, is the whole bottom floor is like a maze.
Okay.
And we're going to booby trap this whole maze, like kind of like they do in Call of Duty, like just whatever, explosives, like falling knives, whatever we can do.
Right.
The zombies come in there. Zombies are pretty stupid, so they're just going to run circles in the maze and get killed by everything.
Okay.
Nice. So everyone else just lives upstairs and like watches the cameras and laughs at
them. But aren't you going to be upstairs? But here's one thing you haven't thought of. Aren't you going to be upstairs trying to figure out how to put together a chair so you can sit?
No, there's tons of furniture on display at IKEA.
Oh, yeah, we use the display stuff. We all live on the display stuff, and we send out scavengers for supplies, and then...
Oh, I hope the zombies aren't listening right now.
I think it's a great idea, but I will tell you that I think one of the problems that people aren't foreseeing is that everybody is going to be locking down their stuff. Like, the people in IKEA are not going to want to let more people in. I think that's going to be the hardest part, is talking your way into the store in the first place.
I'm not talking my way in, Bean. I'm shooting my way in.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you, Ethan. Let's go to Diego. He's got a place in Southern California that he thinks makes the most sense. He's on line 4, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show with his zombie plan. Diego, go ahead.
Hello, Diego.
Oh, Daniel. Hey. They call me Diego. It's Daniel.
Okay, Daniel.
Hey, buddy, people.
Hi. Hi. What's your plan?
My plan is to go to Santa Monica Pier.
Santa Monica Pier?
Yeah.
Is that because of the bottleneck entrance? There's only one way in, one way out?
Yeah, there's only one way in, and you say we see four or something, you know, blow it up the front entrance, and you're safe because zombies can't swim, like you guys said.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's really smart to think about exits and entrances when you start looking for your location. And I think you made a good choice there, my friend. Thank you very much for the call.
All right.
If your name really is Daniel. Hey, Kevin and Bean, I was listening to your discussion just now when you were talking to Kat, who, by the way, sounds a bit zombie-ish in the morning. Yeah, you're right. Guns are great. They are effective, but they alert other zombies. My weapon of choice is a crossbow or bow and arrow. Both are silent and allow you a great distance between you and the zombies. Plus, if you run out of arrows, you can always make more from tree branches or pieces of wood. Good luck in the upcoming zombie apocalypse. That's from Jeff.
Somebody's been watching The Walking Dead.
Let's go to line seven. There's no name given here for line seven, but I want to find out the deal on this because lots of people name this as their go-to location in the event of the zombie apocalypse. Hello there, mystery caller.
Who's this?
Hello.
Are you
hiding from zombies right now? Can you talk closer to the phone, please?
Yeah, this is Ed.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for calling. Bye now.
We can't hear Ed at all. He says Costco. Now, isn't there going to be a huge rush on people trying to go to Costco because everybody knows that's where there's enough food to live for the next 500 years?
Yeah, everybody says that's where all the supplies are. But I think you're going to run into a lot of other humans, and you're going to have all kinds of fights breaking out.
And those supplies will dwindle very fast.
Let's go to Kyle. This is sort of the same idea. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Zombie escape plan. This happens.
Sound that scary.
Although I'm not sure if those are zombies or zombies having sex, but where do you go, Kyle?
I'm going to Walmart. They got guns, food, clothes, treadmills to put outside the doors so the zombies can't get to the doors. I'm set.
They do have everything. There's no doubt about it.
No, I didn't thought of that.
You could live in a Walmart for a year if you needed to.
Yeah.
I have a McDonald's.
What about this, though? Because Kevin and I were talking about zombies can go through glass doors, for instance. It's not like you're behind a brick wall or a giant fence or something like that. You get enough zombies pushing up against that glass, they're coming into Walmart, my friend.
But see, this is what you do. You get the treadmills and you put them outside the door. So then when they try to get to the door, they're on a treadmill. They're just going to keep walking.
Yeah, but
they're just going to keep walking. They're not going nowhere.
But aren't they getting in better shape as they do it?
No, they're stupid. They'll just fall off eventually.
They're going to be so exhausted, they're going to die all over again. All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
One quick update, by the way. Folks are reminding us, according to the Zombie Survival Guide, that zombies get frozen in place in sub-zero weather, so we might want to all think about moving to Canada. That may be the answer. Stay away from the zombies when the invasion happens.
Hmm.
All right, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday morning. Very excited about Magic City. Season 1 concludes tonight on Starz. Ralph, I know you've been doing nothing but talking about Magic City since it debuted all those weeks ago.
I love this damn series. First of all, I love me some mobsters and gangsters.
Sure.
The period of the late 50s, early 60s is just a classic time in American history with those cars and those suits and those outfits. And then you got Miami Beach, which was just the coolest place in the world back then.
How does this theme work?
This is the opening theme.
I know. Well,
if you've seen the show, you know there's a beautiful naked girl swimming underwater during this is Lujan by Henry Mancini. It's a great way to start your television viewing.
Well, I'm surprised you noticed the beautiful naked girl as much as you talk about our guest Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Ike Morgan on the show, who, as you say, looks pretty good in a tux.
Yes, Ike Evans he plays on the show.
No, all right, Ike Evans. Yeah. Yes.
Jeff.
I gotta stop reading what they send in.
Jeffrey
Dean Morgan, welcome. Hello.
Hey, thank you, guys. How are you doing today?
Very well, sir. I got to tell you, I love your damn show, Magic City.
Oh, that's so exciting to hear. Thank you.
Here's the thing. What is Ike Evans ever thinking getting in business with a guy named Ben the Butcher?
You know, that's a really, really good question that I've asked myself many times.
No good can come from getting involved with a guy named the Butcher.
Well, that's exactly right. I think, you know, we got to get some more back history on all that stuff. But, you know, the deal was to have a silent partner. I think Ike was desperate for money. I think he spent everything he had in buying that little piece of real estate that he built the hotel on and then needed some funds to build the actual hotel. And so he got a partner. Maybe he didn't do his research and catch the nickname, the moniker of the Butcher.
Were all the partners that weren't nicknamed the Butcher taken?
I guess they were taken. I thought he was a nice Jewish guy named Diamond.
Just a little research could have saved Ike so much trouble.
Yeah, yeah, I think I got to fire my secretary or something on that show. But, yeah, you would think a little bit more research would have been done. But, you know, that being said, I'm pretty sure that I thought that he had it under control and that Ben the Butcher Diamond was going to stay a silent partner and yes. remain doing his illegal activities in Havana. And I think as soon as Castro overthrows Batista and he shows up in Miami Beach, he becomes a lot less silent, and now Ike is in a hell of a predicament.
Speaking of which, how good is Danny Houston, Jeff?
Oh, man, he's so good. I mean, you know, super creepy. and in real life, he's super creepy. No, he's so great at doing that sort of creepy, weird, there's something not right about this guy deal. And Danny Houston himself is maybe one of the more lovelier people you would ever meet and talk to, who's got stories that literally will leave you spellbound. I love listening to his stories. He's a natural born storyteller.
As a non-actor, how do you play a guy who has a lot of backstory and information that needs to come out? That seems impossible.
Yeah, no, you know, the writer and creator of our show, a guy named Mitch Glazer, who wrote every word of what I've said in season one, he wrote all 8 hours, is such a good writer, and really the show is character-driven. So if that stuff isn't there, and we don't do our work as actors and ask the right questions, then I think it'll come off really one-dimensional, but the scripts are so good, and then, you know, we got actors that know what they're doing. And even if it's not on the page, I think that, you know, an actor, if they're doing their job right, can tell a story, you know, with what's going on behind his eyes, you know, without saying a word. And thankfully, we've got some really, I think, talented actors on this show that are able to convey some stuff that other people wouldn't be able to do. At least that's my, you know, most humble opinion.
Sure.
Jeff, does it help you as an actor to be on location there in Miami shooting the show where it takes place? Does that add a level that helps you as an actor?
Hell yes. You know, for one, what a great place to shoot, Miami Beach. But, you know, we use a lot of the exteriors and actually shoot at a hotel there. The Deauville Hotel plays as our exterior, so all the pool stuff and things that you see are at the Deauville, which and some of the ballroom stuff, and that hasn't changed in 75 years. I mean, the ballroom, the place where if you watch the episodes where we did the big fight, the boxing match,
right,
is the exact room that the Beatles played in, you know, on the Ed Sullivan Show.
That's weird.
And having that kind of history is, you know, it's palpable and lovely and. You know, there's so many Art Deco great buildings that were in Miami Beach in the 50s that are still exactly the same now. And so when you've got that and you're able to use that, it really, really helps. And you know, again, being in Miami Beach for 6 months out of the year is not the worst thing in the world.
Not a bad deal.
No. This is the voice of actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his show Magic City. Season one finale is tonight on Starz. Of course, you can catch up with all of them video on demand. They're all available on your system. The show, this is one of those shows that was an instant hit the week it debuted. I think it got picked up for a second season after the first or second episode. How far into the future will you go next season, Jeffrey? Do you know? Does it still stay in around 1960? Or are we going to see further into the future?
No, it's going to pick up. The second season will pick up exactly where we leave off tonight. And, you know, it leaves sort of a cliffhanger situation with Ike being the character I'm playing in A World of Hurt. And so when we pick up and start filming here in like 2 months, it's going to pick up exactly where we left. And nice. So, you know, I think the course of the show, what we've seen already in the 8 episodes, takes place sort of in real time. And we're looking at about 3 months' time has passed since the beginning of the show when it started in screen time. So we're going to pick up right then. And, you know, in talking to Mitch, he thinks he can write enough material to take us to, like, 1963. And then the world sort of changed. That kind of glamour period of the 50s starts disappearing.
End of Camelot is right around the corner.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't think we're going to see Ike Evans. We don't see Ike Evans as a hippie wearing like a Nehru jacket.
Well, I will tell you, we were lucky enough to have one of your co-stars, Willa Ford, here on the show a few weeks ago. We all fell so quickly in love with her, and there's so many beautiful women on this show, too, which is, again, not the worst way to spend your day as an actor.
No, it is awesome, and Willa is amazing, and I hope we use her a lot more in season two.
So do we.
Olga.
Yeah, I imagine. But that being said, yeah, there is a plethora of beautiful women on this show, Willa being one of them. And yeah, when I get up in the morning to go to work every day and I take a look at what's being shot, I tell you, it's like, oh, man, I got to do a scene with Olga Kurylenko. Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, that's going to suck.
That's gonna be horrible.
Yeah, Olga, of course, plays Vera, your wife, on the show. And I got to tell you, I was watching the show with my wife, as I do every week. And when she went to her fertility clinic, which basically was a Santeria priest who splashed rooster blood on her.
Yeah.
I was like, boy, I'm glad things have changed since 1959.
Yeah. I'm glad your wife didn't say, let's go do a little voodoo.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. We did, but that was later, Jeff.
Well, you're missing out on a real treat if you're not watching Magic City. And again, it is on the Starz Network. Season one finale is tonight at 10. We're so happy for your success, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show today, too. We really enjoyed it.
Thank you so very much for having me.
You bet.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa.
Why don't you just shove the whole thing in your
now
mouth?
Now he's
Kevin?
Eating
That's what she said.
A cupcake.
What are you eating now, Kevin?
A cupcake.
Yeah. Oh, that's one of those.
Wow.
That's a hostess.
It's a hostess cupcake.
There's like five of them right there, Mugs.
There's some jello there, some chocolate jello pudding.
Mm-hmm. I see.
There's Carl's Jr. was kind enough to send over some burgers this morning.
Oh,
they look delicious.
That? That's tremendous.
It's all for you.
Wow.
It's all for you, man. Eat up.
Help yourself.
After the weigh-in.
No, after the weigh-in, it all goes away.
Come on.
Actually, just before the weigh-in, it all goes away. So you can enjoy it now or not, ever, ever. Those are your options.
Today is June 1st, Beer Mug's weigh-in. This, I don't know, about two-year weight loss challenge is going to end today at around 9:20 or so. So we'll find out whether he owes money or wins money. Yeah. How about Ted Stryker sitting down with Jack White in a hotel room ahead of his shows at the Wiltern this week? We've got highlights of that interview for you coming up right after the top of the hour. Now Ralph has the showbiz beat for Friday.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about some tickets to our very special advanced screening of Safety Not Guaranteed?
Yay!
This is a new movie starring the hilarious Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation, Jake Johnson from New Girl, another very talented actor. A great premise. Movie inspired by a real classified ad. Someone apparently took out an ad in a newspaper and said, I have solved the riddle of time travel. I'm looking for someone to travel with me. Departing again soon. Need someone to come with me. Safety not guaranteed. And so they caught the eye of some magazine reporters who went down to get the story. They met Kenneth, the man behind the ad, and a hilarious, unexpectedly heartfelt story came out of that. If you'd like to check out Safety Not Guaranteed, the screening is Wednesday, June the 6th at the AMC Century City. Call now 1-800-520-1067. First three callers to get through, we'll get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Safety Not Guaranteed. Zhang Zhiji.
Right.
Who I always thought her name was Zhiji Zhang.
Yeah, me too.
But this story and all the others I've read says Zhang Zhiji. Chinese actress Zhang Zhiji. Mm-hmm.
So talented, so pretty. She was, what should we call it, that movie, right?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yes, I love her so.
Best known for that. She was also a Bond girl. She was in the James Bond movie with Pierce Brosnan. The World Is Not Enough, I think.
Right. Yes.
She is a high-dollar prostitute.
What? No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
She better not be.
She is.
I got first.
That's fantastic.
There's a website called Boxun.com, Chinese language website, that claims they are breaking open the story that she earned millions of dollars as a prostitute for Chinese government officials.
For reals?
The story alleges.
Is a huge star.
Like, she's a whore, okay?
Let's put it simply.
Would that be like our Angelina Jolie, it turns out, is turning tricks?
Yeah. That would be awesome, too.
The newspaper alleges that she made more than $100 million in exchange for sleeping with a Chinese politician named Bo Zhilai.
That's a lot of dough for being
And many other high-ranking government officials over the past 10 years. So,
does she get her name on the firm and 5% of the profits?
I'm not quite sure how that works. Zhang Zhiji is vehemently denying the claims and threatening legal action, saying it's completely false and defamatory, her representatives are saying.
Will you buy me that purse I want over there? I'll do anything because I'm a whore.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Wow, that's quite a scandal from
Crouching
a pretty
Tiger,
well-known
Hidden Hummer, apparently. What's going on in the back of the limo with the Chinese government officials?
She doesn't have a choice, though, does she, in China? I mean, if they want to tell you to do something, you do it.
I guess, but $100 million. How much do they have to pressure her?
It's pretty good, yeah.
It's pretty good money for... I'd entertain some Chinese officials if there was $100 million in it for me. We were just talking to Jeffrey Dean Morgan from one of my favorite shows, Magic City. That show has already picked up, got a second season coming, and now some of my other shows are getting good news. Nurse Jackie on Showtime is going to be a fifth season of that show. Showtime has announced. So good. She is brilliant on that show, and it's very, very entertaining. And while we're talking about Showtime, leaks, little story leaks, little casting leaks coming out about the next season of Dexter.
Oh,
which, as you know, one of our favorite shows around here. I always host the Dexter panel at Comic-Con every year. In fact, our upcoming guest, Colin Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I first met him, was at the Comic-Con panel, because, of course, he was on Dexter last season.
He'll deny it. He'll pretend he's never met you before.
This Dexter season apparently will spend a lot of time in the strip clubs in the Miami area.
All right.
Upcoming seventh season features a beautiful Swedish actress named Katja Winter. She's playing a Russian stripper on the next season of Dexter. Jason Gedrick will play the club manager of that strip club. And brilliant British actor Ray Stevenson will be playing the leader of the Russian mob in Miami. So apparently there is some sort of mobby, strippery thing going on in Dexter next season.
All right.
So now we know.
That's the way they want to go?
Strippers. I don't want to see strippers wrapped in saran wrap on the table, though. I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
I don't want to see bad things happen to good strippers. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Morgan Freeman is 75 years old today. Guitarist Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones turned 65. Heidi Klum, supermodel, TV personality. She is 39 years old today. And singer Alanis Morissette celebrates her 38th birthday. But I will always remember her as the woman who got Kevin to play the pun title game earlier today. It was very exciting.
I never usually get to play that game.
I know. It was very. He said, isn't it ironic? And I thought that was just adorable.
Adorable.
Oh, we're going to make a phone call real quick.
Do you mind? Do we have time? I'm sorry.
I don't think we do.
We're talking about Alanis Morissette. I just feel like in honor of
Speaking
her birthday.
Of
how old is
titles,
she?
She's the 38.
Just be quick.
Hello. Is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
She, of course, had that song, Thank You, India.
Felt good. It's been a while.
Wow!
That wasn't funny the first time we did it. Not funny at all. And Bean has replayed that 20 times?
Oh, easy. Yeah.
25 times?
I'll never let it go.
If it's a 20, it's 100.
It's just not funny.
Nope. Gets less funny each time.
See, because...
Every time. There's a little less humor in the world every time he does that bit.
We understand it. We get it.
Yeah. And then I say, is this India? And
right?
I'm saying, thank you to India.
Right. You don't need to explain.
You should just tweet that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. This weekend, of course, the Kings continue in the Stanley Cup Finals, people.
Yes.
You have guaranteed they will not only win the Cup, they will sweep the Cup. I've heard you say that a dozen times.
I hope that happens, but I've never and would never say that, as you are a liar, sir. But I have a new video that I put up at KROQ.com, KevinandBean.com, if you'd like to look at it, and a great, great photo of Anze Kopitar, who, of course, is the star.
Yes.
It's my favorite photo of all time. So anyway.
This is when the puck crossed for the win in game one the other night, right?
Well, not technically, no. This is when one of the ice girls skated in front of him.
Oh, okay. That photo.
Yeah,
that,
okay.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that either.
New video if you want to go, if you're a Kings fan or you just want to kind of get in on the excitement at kevinandbean.com.
So speaking of. I'm sorry.
Yes,
go ahead.
Huh? No, you go.
Jeez, have we done this before?
Go ahead.
Speaking of KevinandBean.com and KROQ.com, you can hear the complete interview that Ted Stryker did with the great Jack White of the White Stripes, Raconteurs, Dead Weather. He met up with him in a hotel room this week, and I think there's something dodgy going on, but this interview was before all that happened. You can hear the complete interview on the website, or you can listen to some carefully edited highlights right now, because we think they're both pretty interesting guys. Won't you please enjoy?
All right, it's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. I'm Stryker, very happy right now, sitting on a couch maybe 3 feet away from Jack White.
Why is he using his sexy time voice?
I don't know.
It does sound like he's hitting on him a little bit.
All right. Hey, it's Stryker, sitting on a couch.
Do you know why I called you here today?
Jack, look what's under my robe.
All right, it's 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. I'm Stryker, very happy right now, sitting on a couch maybe 3 feet away from Jack White. Thanks for doing this, and how are you doing?
Great, great.
So, Jack, you gave this quote, and it's one of my favorite quotes. And if you didn't say this quote, let me know halfway through. But you said, I've put off making records under my own name for a long time, but these songs feel like they could only be presented under my name. These songs were written from scratch, had nothing to do with anyone or anything else but my own expression, my own colors, and my own canvas.
Mm.
That's you, right?
I did say that. It was because everyone was worried that they didn't want me to call it a solo record. They said, well, you're demeaning yourself by calling it a solo record, Jack. I said, well, it doesn't matter. People are going to call it that anyways. You know, but they're saying, well, you know, all these albums are your albums. So, yeah, I agree. Like, they're all albums I've done. Dead Weather, White Stripes, whatever it is. They're all albums I've done. And I don't care what the name is most of the time. So,
yeah.
But, you know, that kind of thing where you say you're going to call it your own name, Jack White, then it would just be, you know, I had to explain myself.
All the instruments, every note, everything is you on Blunderbuss. Right?
Written, but this all performed, right. Performed by a myriad of people from that sort of like the Third Man Records family out in Nashville and all from all over, really, Detroit and Brooklyn and everything too, but a lot of session people that played on all the Third Man 45s I've been producing for the last couple of years.
As you're making songs, do you see visions of pictures or do you just see sounds of music?
I guess I just see the character. I try to make up these characters and what their struggle is with one another. And I think sometimes people are used to the idea of relating to the he or the she or the word I or something like that and what it all means to how to relate to it. But I think people should sort of ignore those pronouns, you know. The he and the she are just arbitrary words. I mean, the characters themselves and the struggle that they're in, it doesn't really matter what race, color, gender you are. I mean, the struggle that they're in is what people... I want people to relate to as a songwriter, I guess. It's what your attempt is. If you can try to penetrate and put something out there that people could actually listen to and say, that sounds like me, you know. Like if you say a book like that everybody could read, Catcher in the Rye, and everybody, boy or girl, who reads it feels like, I feel just like Holden Caulfield. That's what you want to be as a writer. You want to be able to write that kind of character that doesn't matter what their name is or how tall they are, what they're wearing, that whoever reads it will feel an identity with them.
I get sad when I listen to the song Blunderbuss for some reason.
Mm.
And there's a line at the very end, which I think could be one of the best lines of a song I've heard in a long time. Doing what two people need is never on the menu.
Mm,
that is so cool. Was that an easy line to come up with? Do you remember where you were when you jotted that down, or did you even write that down?
I made a promise to myself once I started writing a couple of songs for the record that if I had any melodies that I was dreaming and I woke up in the middle of the night, it often happens, but I don't. Too lazy to get out of bed and go write it down or record it.
Right?
It's too much trouble, man. And I said, I'm going to make myself do this. And it happened twice during the record. And so the Blunderbuss was actually a melody and a story that I dreamed about this hotel, an old hotel in Detroit. And I couldn't figure out the time period this hotel was from. And so the whole story came from that.
Are you having more fun than you've ever had? Or has it just always been this for you? Or do you go up and down? Do you have moods of excited and not that excited?
It's hard to tell with myself. I just listen to what the other musicians are saying. If we come off stage and they are all saying, that was fun, that was fun, that was fun. I mean, I'm assuming that's their word for what they wanted to accomplish that night. So that makes me feel good that they felt they were getting somewhere. Then I can maybe feel a little bit better and assume that maybe I got somewhere too. But the things that make me feel good, I don't know what to call them fun. It's hard to say. Fun's like roller coaster ride or going to the movies or something. I don't know what. But on stage, it's hard for me to think of fun. It makes me feel like smiling and laughing, right, and playing funk music or something. I don't know.
Beck Hansen, he is from Los Angeles, but he is working with you. He recorded at your spot, right?
Yes.
And, I just started hating some people today.
Yeah.
It sounds like Beck, but it's not really Beck. What did you know of Beck before you met Beck? How many times can I say Beck?
Yeah. Well, getting back on track, we should. He was always a big supporter when the White Stripes would come through town. He would always come to our shows like early on. So we've been friends for a long time, probably 12 years now. So we've always got along like house on fire. So he was in town recording at Blackbird Studio nearby, and he had come by Third Man to check it out, like you were just saying, and he didn't know about, we had this whole blue series of 7 inches. And he just said, well, I want to do one. You know, I said, well, I didn't want to insult him by asking. I didn't want, you know, I know I could put my friends on the spot, you know. So I didn't even, yeah, but he said, I want to do one. So we went and did it the next day.
Let's talk about, we all had jobs before we got into what we want to do. When you would upholster things, did you hide things when you were upholstering? I've heard that you may have hidden some things in there. Can you reveal what you hid?
We did. used to write in them. I used to thought that upholsterers should leave messages for each other because we're the only ones that see the inside of furniture. So I was always shocked. We'd always open a why. You know, I used to work at a shop with like five other guys and said, why don't we write messages to each other? And the rest of them were like, see whatever. I'm like, well, I'm doing it. You know. So I started writing messages. First, I would write jokes or talk about the client who was there. Like, you know, this guy was a jerk who owned this chair. Then I started writing poetry and I started getting more elaborate. By the time the man I apprenticed from, Brian Muldoon, I was his apprentice and I learned from him. He had had his 25th anniversary, so he wanted to do something special. We had a band together called The Upholsterers. So we released a 7-inch. We made 100 copies of a 7-inch that was clear vinyl with transparency sleeve, so you couldn't even see it if you x-rayed it, was the theory behind the idea. And we left those in 100 pieces of furniture that he upholstered that year. His 25th anniversary to one day be found or maybe never be found. So.
And do you put your name on there?
It's in there, yeah. It's an interesting artwork that came with it because it was printed on transparency plastic.
Okay, got it.
So
when I was at the show at the Mime, when I saw you play, and it was so exciting to hear the new songs. You did a couple cover songs, old songs. You did White Stripe songs, We're Going to Be Friends, you did.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounded really good. Does that song rank in your top 10 all-time of songs you've written? For me, that is one of the most charming, cool, great songs ever.
One time I asked Loretta Lynn what her favorite song she wrote was, and she thought for a second, and she said Coal Miner's Daughter, which is probably her most popular song and the one everybody knows. And you almost, for a second there, I thought, wow, why did she say that? But then you start thinking is that if you can connect with people with a song, you're just damn lucky. You can have all the talent or all the experience or all the chops or whatever the hell, and you can sit down and try to do something. But the accidents are what prove to be something that connects with a lot of people. So that impressed me with the fact that she said that was her most proudest thing. And for something like We're Going to Be Friends, I'm really proud that people care about it, you know, that it means something to people. There's 100 other songs I've written that don't connect with people, so in a big way like that. So I feel good about that song.
Jack, that's going to be it. Congratulations on Blunderbuss. I've listened to it so many times, and just for the record, my favorite song is Blunderbuss on there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, it is the world famous K-Rock.
I see Colin Hanks at every home Kings game.
Pretty much.
And now you see him in the K-Rock studios. Welcome, Colin Hanks.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.
That was the Briggs, by the way. The song is This Is L.A., which the Kings used extensively throughout the season.
Is it an anthem?
I would say it's an anthem.
I think so.
It's not a Gaslight anthem, though.
No.
That's separate. That's different.
No. Musical band puns, always funny.
Tell us about you and the Los Angeles Kings. How long have you been going to the games, Colin?
How much time do you have?
I mean, that's really a two-word answer. 5 years, 8 years, whatever it is.
Since 1987.
No way!
Wow. Yes, I'm talking
about... How many people were going to the games then?
Probably about 1,000 per game. This is how long ago it was. It was Luke Robitaille's rookie season.
Wow.
The Kings were in royal Forum blue and gold.
That was a hideous outfit.
A hideous, but now...
And I don't use the word outfit.
But
often.
Now, kind of glorious on the throwback nights?
Nope. Like, nope, not glorious at all.
We're going to agree to disagree on that one, boys.
That's good.
And the team that they played the very first game I saw at the Fabulous Forum, before it was the Great Western Forum, Great Western was a bank that went under, way before any bad stuff happened with, you know, the economy.
I see what you mean now about how it was a long
answer. We don't need to go back that far, if you don't mind.
They played the Quebec Nordiques.
Oh, okay. Wow. And so now you're one of the long-suffering fans who can't believe what's happening this week. Like, it doesn't seem real to you. By the way, why aren't you in New Jersey right now just sitting out in front of the arena waiting for Saturday night?
Because I got a wife and a baby that won't let me do these
things. They don't understand. Oh, wow. So you're not going to the away games even though you probably
You have to teach them early, man.
I got to teach them early. No, I have a very, very awesome wife. And this will sound treacherous coming from, considering this is Los Angeles, but I'm actually not a Dodgers fan or an Angels fan. I'm a San Francisco Giants fan.
Oh, wow. Why would you come in here and admit something like that when you're not being tortured?
You are dumb.
Because the story is the time that we won the World Series in 2010. Right. I was shooting the good guys in Dallas, and we wrapped right when the World Series moved to Texas for games 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
My wife let me stay an extra 5 days and go to every single one of those games.
That's sweet, but now everyone...
The deal is, I can go to as many Kings Stanley Cup Finals games as long as they are in Los Angeles.
Okay.
To go to Jersey is no-no.
Okay. You used up your away nights for the World Series.
Exactly.
I understand.
The irony is I have to go to New York, and I'm going to miss Game 4 in Los Angeles. And if it goes to Game 5, I'm not allowed to stay in New York and take the PATH train to Jersey.
That's what you get for being a Giants fan. It all comes full circle.
Is there a way that we can sweep in 3?
I don't think that's been discovered yet.
Guessing not.
No way to do that.
It's best of 7.
Even sweeping in 3. Even saying the word sweep is makes me nervous.
Kevin is guaranteed it. Kevin's been on the radio guaranteeing that they're going to
be. He's been saying this the whole time trying to set me up.
I'm really...
Like I would ever say that.
I have serious nerves about the
You know, we talked to Bill Simmons from ESPN.
Yes.
And he said he was a season ticket holder this year. And he said, I didn't realize until this year that the Kings haven't really had a lot to cheer about. As you know, he's from Boston.
Yes.
So the Celtics are, like the Lakers, always in the finals. So
always.
Basically, you just kind of get used to that. But the Kings haven't really... They went to the finals in 93.
Mm-hmm.
And now...
Right. Every 20 years, whether they need it or not.
And then
The only other thing that they accomplished is... And I have a shirt to prove it. It is my lucky shirt that I wear on game days. Is the... Smythe Division Championship in 1991.
Okay.
The Smythe Division no longer exists. It hasn't existed for, 15 years?
Now, do you wash the shirt?
Oh,
is there any special care that you take of it?
You know, my instinct right there was to say, yes.
I heard you start.
But I haven't washed it since.
See?
I don't think I'm going to wash it for the finals.
Yeah, I don't want to sit next to you. Tell you that.
Well,
you're not washing it till.
You don't want to be the fan responsible for screwing it up by screwing up the routine.
Maybe. Depending on the outcome on Saturday.
Okay.
I will wash it for Game 3, which I am attending.
I need your cell phone number so that I can text you from Game 4 all night.
The funny thing with the cell phone, though, so many people know that I'm fans, or that I am a fan, and
you can be fans.
I'm fans. I have multiple personalities, so I'm fans. And no matter where I am, no matter what sporting event I am, my phone does not work. I can't text. I can't make phone calls. I can't tweet. I can't do anything.
I think that's true of a lot of venues because they need their own cell tower. They're not set up to have sometimes tens of thousands of people in that small an area trying to use the service all at one time.
Yeah. Having said that, Game 4, you're not going to be at a game.
We will text, brother. We will text
Colin
away.
Colin Hanks is in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has been in 3 of my favorite shows of all time, by the way. Going back to Roswell, which was a show that I loved so much. Back when Katherine Heigl was tolerable. I loved that show so much. He, of course, also had a tremendous arc on Dexter. He also had a great role on Mad Men. And he is in a new movie called High School. We're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Colin Hanks about what it's like playing, first of all, an adult and not a student, playing an assistant principal or something.
He's
and not
sort
a student.
Of an adult.
It's just, it's weird because I think of you as too young to be the man. But in this movie, you play the man.
He's the assistant man.
I'm an assistant man.
Yeah.
He's the assistant man, exactly. So we'll talk about that when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Colin Hanks just used the word porny.
He did.
And I said it right when the light went on. I just realized of all the words to say.
No one heard it until being repeated. It
looks a little porny, he said.
It looks a little porny. We were talking about Game of Thrones, FYI.
Yes, just so you know. Not just talking about Lisa like usual. All right, listen. I know we're going to run out of time, but Colin, you are a lot of fun and it's fun to talk to you. So let's make sure we get in the plug for High School, which is your new movie that's opening up everywhere today.
High School.
Emphasis on the high. Tell folks who maybe haven't heard about it what's going on here.
Basically, it's about these two kids that used to be friends when they were younger, and they've sort of gone their separate ways. One's a burnout. One's the straight-laced valedictorian trying to get to MIT. They have an evening together in which they both partake in something. And the following day, the dean of students says he's going to drug test everybody, and whoever fails is not going to graduate. Thus setting the plot in motion, and comedy ensues.
That kid's life is ruined because he's not going to go to MIT.
So they came up with this plan to make these pot brownies and get everybody stoned so that everybody fails.
What a brilliant plan. What could go wrong with that?
No movie has been made like this before. One of the reasons why I did it.
I agree. I was trying to think about that, and I thought, I don't think I remember that ever being done, and it seems like such an obvious thing to do.
It's the strangest thing, but it's the normally you hear, like, okay, what's the movie about? And it's always the sort of same thing. It's like, oh, there's a guy, and he really wants to do a thing and go to a deal that does the thing, and then, you know, and then funny stuff happens, and it's crazy because he's so sweet. And this one was just like, oh, it's about these kids that get their entire school stoned. And now, I went, oh, that's funny.
Now, you're the assistant principal.
Yeah, I'm no longer the kid, which is the weird thing.
You're sort of the man. You're sort of half the man.
I'm an assistant man.
Yeah.
I'm an assistant to the man.
But then by the end of the movie, I got a screener of it. You're wearing some kind of a working for the weekend lover boy head.
It's my Dirk Diggler. It's my Dirk Diggler. I'm ready to shoot, Jack. I'm ready to shoot.
And you end up getting baked along with everybody else then?
Yeah. Oh, everybody does. Everybody does, yes.
We have a clip if you want to hear this. This is Colin as the assistant principal.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good.
That's hilarious. Now, I understand from seeing you interview the other day that this is not your high school experience. You did not run with the stoner crowd, right?
No, I was more the social butterfly. I sort of went from group to group.
Oh, really? Were you popular in high school?
Look how surprised she sounds.
I thought you would be the science geek or something.
I always say this. Don't ever listen to what someone says they were like in high school, because I don't believe it to be true.
Okay, yes. So you weren't what you're saying you were?
Busted.
I'm confused.
Dang.
Was I the popular guy? I don't feel like I was the popular guy. But again, like, I didn't really like have a specific clique of people. Kind of was just sort of friendly with everybody.
Clickless.
I was a little clickless, but then again, my school was not, I went to like a very small school that had classrooms in portable buildings. Like, it wasn't like an institution of learning
with 900 people in your class.
I mean, this was the kind of school where kids
sounds
went,
like a tent on an Indian reservation.
It was kind of ish. I mean, it was, there were kids that had been going to that school since pre-K and graduated high school.
Wow.
So it was sort of more than anything else, you just sort of went, man, my school sucks because it's not like the schools in the movies. I wish my lockers were indoors so I didn't have to freeze in the Northern California winters.
Because you go watch, Fast Times or Dazed and Confused or something. You go, hey, that's a hell of a lot more fun.
And Dazed and Confused, that was like my dream. I wish I grew up in Austin in the 70s.
So how'd you do it playing stoned?
First of all, did you play stoned?
Ooh, nice, Kevin.
That, you want to know what? Of all the times I've been asked that question, that's the best way it's been asked.
I did the air quotes.
It's good. It's good. No, I just sort of went, it was sort of silly. You know, you start with the giggles.
Sure.
And then you start maybe getting a little loosey-goosey in the body.
And you put on the headband.
And you put on the headband. And then once the headband's on,
it's right? on.
The shackles it's on. Are off.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good.
I think it's safe to say, and I'm not going to incriminate myself, but if anyone was stoned,
yes.
That's not how they're acting.
That's true.
And I think it's still in, at one point, since it's brownies, like, I take a bit of the brownies and I like rub it on my gums.
Right.
Like, this is a heightened cannabis high we're talking about
here. It would have been more like, so good.
Yeah.
That's what it would have been like.
I just thought it was really funny to just yell, I feel so good. I just, for some reason.
Well, it's also your first time in the movie.
Yeah.
You've ever been high, so maybe you're enjoying the sensation.
I think it's.
I'd like to play it again.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive and an assistant dean.
That's my. my new ringtone.
I want that to be a ringtone. Can that be like one of the things you press, like on the show, like the, one of your sound clips?
Absolutely.
That you always do. I mean, maybe just cut it out at the assistant dean. But if that could somehow live in perpetuity on your show,
done.
We'll do our best.
Done. I'll give it to you for free.
What's the movie rated, Colin Hanks?
I don't know.
Oh, really? Because
are you in it?
I think.
Have you seen it?
What movie?
I'm being told it's R.
Are we talking about Tron?
Oh, that's good news.
No, we're talking about
this is why I was
high school.
I was hoping R was the answer, because when you're making a stoner comedy, I don't want it to be sanitized for my protection. Yeah. I want it to be raunchy, and I want there to be boobs, and I want it to be hilarious.
Oh,
that's
you want to know what? Now that I think about it, there are boobs and F-bombs. So, yeah,
okay.
It's R. It's definitely R.
It's all I need.
If you actually, you know, if you have more boobs than F-bombs, you can no, it's still R.
It is R. Okay.
Yeah.
High School opens up today. Colin Hanks is our guest. Hey, listen, before we say goodbye, before we let you go, and I'm serious about this, you need to be our Stanley Cup correspondent. We need you on the phone Monday to talk about Saturday's game. Can we do it?
On Monday? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll work it out with your schedule, but I mean, we don't have a correspondent. We need a correspondent. I think you sound like our guy, because you're a long-suffering fan since
I can
the
do
80s.
That. I would be honored. I would be honored.
And then Thursday.
Yeah. Well, okay, but if we on Thursday, don't talk to me about Thursday. Thursday, I'll be sounding the opposite of what I sound like in that soundbite, because I will be.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good.
If we win,
it feels so good to be alive and an assistant dean.
If we win, you know you're playing that.
Of course.
You know we're playing that.
Of course.
Yes. No, I would be honored to be the
official Kevin Bean correspondent for the Stanley Cup Final.
Sure.
All right, great. Good deal. All right. Go see High School, everybody, this weekend. Colin Hanks, thanks for stopping by. We enjoyed it.
Thanks for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Really, Monday's the big firing show, though, right?
Come on! Muggsy, it's fired?
Yeah.
Why wait till Monday? Let's do it right after the weigh-in today. I'm with you, Ralph.
Give people a reason to tune in on Monday.
Yeah, that's
tease
true.
Tease it. Come on, Bean, showbiz.
Tease it over. Come on, man.
Yeah.
We could have every listener who hates Beer Mug call in and yell at him before we fire him. That would be a fun show.
We only
show,
have 4
it?
Hours. We only have 4 hours of radio time.
Turn it into a marathon. We have to stay out all day. All right. Ralph is here for our another look at the showbiz beat. I almost said our final, but we got an hour left to go here.
Come on. Let me go. Let me free. Release me. Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, the other shoe has finally dropped.
Which other shoe?
DC Comics has been promising us now for a couple of weeks that they were going to announce one of their legendary superheroes will be relaunched as a gay character. Today we know.
Lad.
It is Green Lantern. Green Lantern is gay, according to DC Comics.
Ah.
Now, he's the guy that has the lantern that gives him strength, and he can't face yellow.
He's got the power ring, Kevin.
Power ring.
That he recharges on the lantern.
Lantern.
That he has a weakness against the color yellow.
Okay.
However, the Green Lantern, there are many Green Lanterns.
Oh, I thought
what?
It was
in the
only...
DC Comics universe.
What are you talking about?
Why? How?
This particular Green Lantern is Alan Scott, the original Green Lantern from the 40s that the Hal Jordan Green Lantern was based on when they created him in the 60s. But
what?
They are rebooting the 1940s version that was lost when they did the New 52 reboot of the entire DC Comics universe.
Are these competitors? These two?
No.
This is
the Earth 2 Green Lantern. This is a separate Earth than the Hal Jordan Green Lantern and the Guy Gardner Green Lantern and the John Stewart Green Lantern.
So they could never come across one another. They all live in separate universes. Right?
This is another universe.
Which one was Seth Rogen playing in his
Earth
movie
2.
Last year?
Seth Rogen was the Green Hornet.
Oh, my God.
Nothing to do with the Green Lantern whatsoever. And no
gay?
Connection to the Green Arrow, who, of course,
Wait,
will be
Seth
starring
Rogen
in
is
Arrow.
Gay?
Who will be Arrow this year on the CW. So
understand.
The Alan Scott Green Lantern has been rebooted. Originally, Green Lantern had a power against wood.
Was
powerless
they
against
to be
wood.
The gay one?
So I think maybe that's why they picked Green Lantern, because he's powerless against wood.
I see. It all makes sense now.
I said, it makes sense that the superhero with the most fabulous jewelry would be rebooted
rings, sure.
as gay. So it makes perfect sense to me. But now we know Green Lantern, the Alan Scott Green Lantern, apparently being rebooted as a gay character for DC Comics. Which is all just smacks so much to me of like, oh, we're just sales are bad. We're desperate.
Yeah.
Please hop on something that's hot.
Please pay attention to us and buy our comic books, would you please?
Right.
So
This time he's gay. Seriously.
No, it's cutting. It's edgy. It's things.
It's kind of what Archie did last year, right? With that new character they introduced and had the big gay wedding and everything.
Marvel's doing a gay wedding, too. Next month. They're doing
it's very popular.
It's good to be gay.
And they all live inside an electrified fence, and we drop food to them, right?
I'm a ginnet.
Crazy preacher guy.
More gay news. JCPenney has released their new Father's Day ad, and it features a real-life gay couple. Todd.
Why not, Bean? This is America!
That's right. Todd and Cooper and their two children. And it's a gay Father's Day ad featuring two fathers in a family instead of a father and a mother. Mm-hmm. Ad copy reads, what makes Dad so cool? He's the swim coach, tent maker, best friend, bike fixer, and hug giver all rolled into one or two in this particular case.
I have audio from that commercial if you want to hear it.
I don't think you do. I've never felt so good in my life. It's been so good. It feels so good to be alive. Yes, it does. What is the 1 million moms going to do now if they were upset that Ellen DeGeneres was hired as the JCPenney spokesperson? What are they going to do about this ad?
What are the chances now? They'll look at this and go, we lose, let's disband?
No!
Come on.
They'll just fuel the fire of lunacy. Unrelated. Did you see that video of that four-year-old kid in that Indiana church singing how the homos
don't go to heaven
and everyone cheering them on and applauding and stuff?
God, it's just tragic.
Just makes you just want to carpet bomb that church.
Yeah, really. Because
everyone inside there who's cheering that on, they got to go. They got to go.
The four-year-old doesn't probably understand even what that is.
No, all right, pull him out. And then the rest of them, they got to go.
Yeah.
Here, Jay-Z tweeted something this week where he said, look, people, discriminating against gay people is exactly the same as discriminating against black people. What are you doing? And, I mean, it's such a
no, it's not
point.
Being, because being gay is a choice.
No.
And
no.
Being black isn't. Come
that's
on,
what,
read your Bible.
Why this whole thing, I can't believe this discussion is happening in 2012. I just can't believe it.
Well,
and you're absolutely right. I mean, we're raising a whole new generation of people to hate by the virtue of that.
Most
you know,
of
like
us are. Most of us
are. That's true. I think that's a
every generation less people get raised that way. I like to think, but it does exception. Hurt to watch 4 year olds being conditioned and taught to perform like that, because it does make an impact.
It's like those little kids you used to see in their Klan outfits. Their parents would put them in their Klan outfits. It's the same thing.
Right.
The Bible's against it. God's against it. I'm against it. And if you've got any sense, you're against it.
Or you know what else it's like? It's like watching kids being made to wear Seattle Mariners jerseys.
That is just so sad
that a parent would do that to a child.
Same it's thing.
Tantamount to child abuse, in my opinion.
How dare you!
Today's celebrity birthdays. Alanis Morissette is 38 years old today. TV personality, and supermodel Heidi Klum is 39. Ron Wood, guitarist for the Rolling Stones, turned 65 years old. And actor Morgan Freeman is 75. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I think I know what your answer is going to be, Kevin, and it's that you're a grown man. But why all the hate for the Biebs lately? Why do you hate my little Justin Bieber that I love so much?
First of all, you call him your little Justin Bieber.
That's the problem,
that's
right?
That's his day.
Yeah,
that's A.
Okay.
B, he's a douchebag. C, he's everywhere. And if you want to, you know, to ignore him, which I do, it's not possible.
He's everywhere.
He shows up at
he's
the Mayweather fight. I mean, all that's ridiculous stuff. He tries
got
to
invited
act black.
To the Mayweather fight
so
by
what?
Mayweather.
So what? Don't
Here's
be a douchebag. Turn it down. Don't be a douchebag. He doesn't belong in there.
The reason he's everywhere is because he's popular and he's talented and people like him. That's what's going on.
You make me sick.
This Norway story, first of all, is crazy. A riot broke out. 15,000 people clogging the streets of Norway. They almost called a state of emergency. 78 people injured at his concert. 11 ended up in the hospital as a result of his concert. Then he goes on to Paris, where he runs into a glass wall during a show.
Now this
gets a concussion.
This is what I love.
Yeah.
And then goes back out on stage and finishes the set, even though he had blacked out backstage.
He ran backstage. There was a glass wall that he didn't see, and I've done this 100 times, and just tried to run right through it and knocked himself out.
Well, let's catch up with Justin himself. I think he's still on the road on this world tour that he's doing right now in anticipation of his new album coming out later in the month. Justin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Why all the questions, bro?
That was just how are you?
I just said,
no,
how
but
are
it's
you?
Like,
that
all these hard questions, bro. What's that all about, eh?
It was just hello. That's it. Just how you doing? How you feeling after the concussion?
Hard enough being
me, man. Being on the road with all those people rioting in the streets.
Uh-huh.
What's that all about?
Well, it's got to, it has to be scary. I mean, even though they're just little girls, it's you put enough of them together, it's got to kind of be dangerous. You can't move your car, you can't walk, you can't do anything.
Most destructive force in the world are prepubescent girls. Dude.
Is that right?
Yeah, we should like unleash them on crime or something.
That's a great
idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea, Justin.
Sure. It's like wartime, just open up like a plane and parachute them into like Nazi Germany, eh?
I don't
have it like.
First of all, we don't have any
Nazis.
Problem with Nazi Germany
anymore. Why are they still letting the Nazis run around?
They're
eh?
Not.
They
We're
should
not.
Be outlawed or something.
It
What's
is
that
outlawed.
All about?
It is
okay.
It's outlawed.
And I was in Norway, eh?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Norway, eh? Norway,
Norway.
Eh? Norway, Norway, eh? Norway, eh? I was
you
in Oslo.
Right.
And there were like 15,000 people in the streets.
Right.
There's
yes.
not even 15,000 people in Norway.
That's true.
They had to import people from other Scandinavian countries, eh? Just to riot outside my concert.
And who did that? Your management?
Yeah, we did.
That's what I thought.
You were very popular there. But then what happened in Paris? We wanted to find out the details. Because this isn't the first time where you've run into a pane of glass and hurt yourself.
I know. What? I have problems like windows, eh? It's so strange. You know what the problem is?
What?
Glass is transparent, eh?
Right. Yes.
They should make it like solid and colored.
But once you learn that glass.
That's not a black thing or anything. I'm just saying you should be able to see it better.
Okay. But once you learn it's transparent, don't you start to watch out for it?
How can you watch out for it? It's transparent, eh?
But well, Justin, my
like you walk around, it's like, oh, this is a clear way to go. And then, no, there's an invisible force field of the hardness there, eh?
It's not invisible.
But what I'm saying is that my dog figured out the first day that glass is something you can't walk through. Why can't you get that through your head?
Because I keep seeing through it, and I think I can just go forward, eh? It's tricky. Glass is tricky, eh?
Not really for anyone that's over four.
I just keep finding it. I think it's, like, good to go, and then...
Oh, Jesus. What,
oh,
what happened?
Oh, crap. See what I'm talking about?
That just happened live?
Yeah, there was, like, a glass window there, and it looked like you could just walk through it.
Right, but...
Well, be
Ow,
careful.
Eh?
It's not that difficult of a concept,
oh,
really.
Oh, what's all this blood about?
Oh. I hope it's about your death.
I got to go get a Band-Aid. Oh,
oh now what? Justin?
Oh, who keeps putting all these glass windows around here? I need, ow, eh? Someone needs to, we need to have someone talk.
Wow.
Oh, no, oh, this is ugly.
I shouldn't live in a glass house, eh?
I'm very excited by what's about to happen here on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. How about some setup here? It was 3.5 months ago. How did the whole bet even start, Kevin? Why did you even care whether Beer Mug lost 30 pounds?
I don't know. I think he said he was going to lose 30 pounds, and
it
none of us
Dave.
Did.
It was
I'm sorry, Dave. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's all right. It was me and Muggs were at the Grammy Roundtable, and we were just talking about weight loss, and he claimed, oh, I could lose 30 pounds easily.
As he was shoving food down his throat.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I made the bet, and then Kevin hopped on.
All right, so he started at, 226.8.
Yeah.
Yes. He has to be down to 196.8, and there's 200 credits riding on it either way. Either he pays Dave and I 100 each, or we pay him 100 each.
And what I love about
Those
Muggs,
credits.
For folks who have been following this throughout the last 3 months, what I love about Muggs is he basically did nothing on this bet for the first 2 months.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
He just coasted for the first 2 months.
You'll
and then he's
just
really
full of enthusiasm
been. Yeah, he's
confidence.
So been pouring it on. And of course, we've enjoyed it very much. We've enjoyed seeing how miserable he is being starving every day, especially lately. Our listeners have stepped up with, for instance, this song, Beer Muggs Fat.
Doo doo doo. Doo doo doo. Do 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 do. Beer Mug's Fat. Do do do. Beer Mug's Fat. Do do.
Beer Mug's Fat.
Do 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 do. Beer Mug's Fat. Do do do. Beer Mug's Fat. Do do.
Beer Mug's Fat.
Do 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 do.
Standing on the scale, his face is full of fear. The number doesn't change because he is full of beer. He got the lowest score in the world on his SATs. And now he drowns his problems with the things he eats. He stays motivated when you guys make fun of him. 3 months to lose the weight, but he ain't losing none of it. People look at him and think he weighs a billion. Nope, bigger numbers. That dude weighs a gillion. Beer Mug's Fat.
That is Kevin Englister John who contributed that to us, recorded that on his iPhone, by the way. And Beer Mug has really turned it on in this last week or so. He has not had solid food, you guys.
guys since Monday.
In 26.8 pounds, as of this past Tuesday, he was down to 204.7. His goal, 196.8. That'll be 30 pounds from when we began this on Valentine's Day. So it needs to be at 196.8 or lower for Beer Mug to win.
Now, I want Beer Mug to be healthy, so I'm glad he lost the weight, but I would like him to be 196.9, so if he misses by a tenth of a pound, it has to pay us.
Beer Mug, what are your thoughts as you envision what's about to happen here in the next 60 seconds? How will you feel if you don't make it?
I will feel like a complete disaster, which is nothing new, but I feel right now my heart is beating. I feel like Gandhi. My muscles are very shaky and brittle. But
wait,
yeah.
This just is. Beer Mug is so fat.
Come on. Now, you know if you don't make it, it's because that you were lazy the first 2 months of the bet, right?
Yeah,
you really have no one to blame but yourself if you don't make it.
That's what we can attribute it to, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But win or lose, Beer Mug, you lost a lot of weight, congrats on that. Dude.
Thank you.
But I want your $100.
Let's see what happens.
And I'd like to throw out also, win or lose, Beer Mug does get fired today, right?
Oh, come on!
I'd like to throw out win or lose. Beer Mug is so fat! All right, Beer Mug is going to step on the scale. Lisa May, are you going to be reading off the number for us?
Yes,
Beer
Mug,
you're not allowed to look. Close your eyes. Right, step on the scale.
196.8 is the magic number. Anything above that, Beer Mug loses that number or less. Beer Mug is a big winner.
196.8.
Are you ready?
Yes.
194.2.
Are you? Beer Mug lost over 10 pounds.
That's how we do it. How it is done. Hold on.
What?
Now, hold on a minute.
I'm with you on what?
Before we end this bit, I would like to say I'm not going to take Kevin's $100.
I would have taken yours.
I know you would have.
All right.
I'm not going to take Dave's $100.
I would have taken yours.
I know. I am going to give you both my $100. For being such great motivators of my weight loss.
Wow.
194.
We're not going to take your
money. Yes, you are.
No, we're not.
You guys are better than any trainer I've ever had in my life. And for that, you guys will get the $100. You know what? My goal has been reached. Way more important and way more valuable than any monetary value.
I have a suggestion.
But your goal plus our $200, yes, Lisa?
We should weigh him on Monday.
He'll be back up to 250.
Here you go, Dave. I'm going to give... Dave's going to Australia at the end of the year.
We're
he needs
not
to save
your
up.
Money.
And Kevin,
we're not taking
Kevin,
your money.
I'm going to contribute to your alcohol fund.
Here's what you earn,
here you go.
Here's what you
here
earn.
Here you go, Kevin. No. No, take it.
You earn
take
a new theme song.
Looks like I'm
going
to have to get fat again.
It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 9:39. I would like to read a tweet, if I could, from our own Chip.
Chipper!
Oh, great. She's got some pretty good insights. So, KROQ Beer Mug lost the weight, but he's still Beer Mug. Who wins?
Good point. Everyone who's not Beer Mug wins.
Hey, I told you right after we got off the air, Mugs, you may have won the bet, but you're still a loser at life, and that's an important lesson I want you to take away.
He didn't win the bet. I'm not going to take the money, but here's the twist. I'm going to give Kevin and Dave money because Dave's going to Australia later this year, and Kevin drinks, so I'm giving to the fund of the drinking. Because they were the best motivated. Wah, wah, wah. Too late. I killed myself. I can't hear the end of the bit. Too late. I opened a vein.
He is still Mugs.
He is still Mugs. Just less of them. That's all. All right. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat for an outstanding week of Kevin and Bean shows, if I do say so myself. What's going on?
Speaking of Mugs, I want to thank the folks over at Carl's Jr. who sent us just bags and bags of burgers.
That was nice.
That was very nice of them. And Mugs is choking on one right now.
He's earned it.
It's kind of cold, but tastes good.
Yeah. It's their new burger. And it's a tie-in with Spider-Man, by the way, the new Spider-Man movie that's coming out. And in keeping with that, today from 2 to 4, if you go to the Carl's Jr. on Los Feliz,
in Glendale. 424 West Los Feliz in Glendale. There's a giant spider web covering the entire restaurant.
Okay.
Yes.
Can you get in?
Yes. But it's covering the entire exterior of the restaurant. It's very cool looking. You can go check it out, and they're giving away Spider-Man movie tickets and T-shirts and hats and posters.
I'm not
going
to take
stuff.
These tickets. I'm going to give them back to you.
I'm
going to
give the tickets to you, Carl's Jr., because you are the best motivator that I ever... Are you going to Australia anytime soon? And while we're giving stuff away, I still have passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Safety Not Guaranteed.
Yeah! Those kids love this movie, whoever they are. Those kids.
These little kids love Safety Not Guaranteed.
They do.
It's happening on Wednesday, June the 6th, based on a true story about a guy who believes he could travel through time. He's looking for a travel companion, and the magazine reporters are going to do a story on him and find out more than they anticipated. Perhaps if you'd like to check out this new comedy starring Aubrey Plaza from Parks and Recreation and Jake Johnson from New Girl, we'd love to have you. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through get a pair of passes to see our advanced screening of Safety Not Guaranteed. All right, let's move on with the showbiz news. We were talking earlier today about the JCPenney ad for Father's Day featuring the two gay dads who are married with the two kids. And we were wondering, what would the response of the 1 million moms be? Well, we know.
JCPenney so much for this.
They have released their statement saying the 1 million moms, which as we discovered before is like 40,000 people on Facebook or something, is disturbed that JCPenney is continuing down the same path of promoting sin in their advertisements.
Ooh, gloves are off.
Our persistence will pay off. One day we will answer for our actions or lack of them. We must remain diligent and stand up for biblical values and truth. Scripture says multiple times that homosexuality is wrong and God will not tolerate this sinful nature. So they recommend that all the members write refused return to sender when their June JCPenney catalog comes to their house.
Well, that'll show them.
They also recommend calling, emailing, and visiting your local JCPenney to complain to a manager there and canceling your JCPenney credit card account.
And we would
like these women have credit cards. That's so cute.
And we would like to suggest that you do just the opposite. Mm-hmm. And we're not getting paid to say this.
No.
But buy stuff at JCPenney because
All your clothing and furnishing needs all there at JCPenney.
They are doing the right thing.
Yes. Yep. Support them with all of your money because it's important that we support companies that don't buckle to the pressure of zealots of any kind. So good for you, JCPenney. I respect what you're doing. While we're talking about the gays, Green Lantern, one of DC Comics' oldest and most enduring superheroes, has just been announced by the comic book company. Green Lantern is gay. They are rebooting the character, making him an openly gay hero. Now, it's not the Green Lantern that Ryan Reynolds played in the movies.
Well, how many?
Ironically.
This is what I don't understand. How many are there?
There's always a bunch of Green Lanterns.
Well, they're gay.
In our world, in Earth 1 alone, there's three Green Lanterns that look over our sector of space, which, of course, is 2814.
Sure.
You got Hal Jordan, who's probably your most famous of the Green Lanterns. You got Guy Gardner, and you got Jon Stewart.
You are a dork of epic proportions.
This is on Earth 2. The Earth 2 version of the Green Lantern is Alan Scott, who originally, of course, was the 1940 version.
All right.
That the Hal Jordan 60s version was based on.
I just don't care.
Obviously.
At all.
So they're rebooting Alan Scott and making him an openly gay Green Lantern. On Earth 2, though. It's just Earth 2.
Where's the outrage there?
I don't know if there is any. But
there's I seriously almost passed out. You're such a dork.
So, Earth 2 is coming back. And the funny thing is, years ago, DC went out of their way to eliminate all the different Earths and just make it one Earth that all the characters lived on.
Right.
And now they're starting to split off into other Earths, too. I guess this is a gay Earth that they have over there.
All right.
So they got that going for you. So
that's a bunch of hogwash.
I love hogwash. Kim Kardashian and Kanye... I'm sorry, I apologize.
Yep.
Porn star Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are reportedly moving in together just after 2 months of dating.
That's what their PR people suggest?
No, this is what TMZ.com tells us. That they've both are in the process of selling their Southern California homes, and they are on the hunt for a new place together to live at.
All right. We should start a pool. If we don't do it today, we start on Monday and see how long this marriage will last.
Well, they're not married. They're not getting married.
This whirlwind romance.
This whatever.
Cohabitating.
Yes. How long that'll last.
I just, can you imagine the poor real estate agent who has to show them properties when they're buying? Most people ask how many bedrooms it has, how many bathrooms it has. How many mirrors does this house own? Oh, no, that's not nearly enough. We need. Do you have a house? You have a home made of mirrors?
All mirrors.
All mirrors.
Walls.
Why is she famous anyway?
Because she had sex with a dude.
On TV.
On TV. That
I saw it.
You don't think I feel bad?
Nope. Shang-Chi-Yi. The star of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
She can fly.
Yeah, she can. And apparently, we were wrong. We talked about the story earlier. The co-star with Pierce Brosnan in The World Is Not Enough was Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, okay.
Who I believe was also in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't
so
know.
You can understand confused. My confusion.
I think you're right. I think that's true.
But Zhang Yi.
Who I love, by the way.
Do you love her? Do you love Michelle Yeoh?
I love Zhang Yi.
Okay.
She's my favorite.
Reports today coming out of a website called Boxun.com, a Chinese language website, claiming that they've got knowledge of the fact that she was actually a highly paid prostitute for the Chinese government.
That's a bunch of hogwash.
I don't know. According to Boxun.com, she has made more than $100 million in exchange for sexual favors.
Wow.
Dude.
That's
with Chinese politicians, high-ranking government officials over the past 10 years, and now apparently is the subject of an investigation.
And this would be, she would be volunteering for this? This is something she agreed to do for the money, or somehow they forced her to, or what's the story
it's
here?
It's a communist country,
they
so I'm assuming they plucked her out of school when they recognized that she had a talent in that area and sent her to prostitute school and trained her like they do the Olympians.
But that doesn't seem like
no, they do.
She's a grown-ass woman.
No, they walk around schoolyards and go, okay, you'll be boxer, you'll be gymnast, you'll be prostitute.
Right, but isn't she like 40 or something?
She's 33 years old. She's 33 years old.
How did they force her to do it?
Well, she didn't make it this year. They're saying this
over the past 10 years. So she started in her early 20s, which really is prime prostitute time. So that's really
well,
when
sure.
you it's like an athlete.
$100 million, though.
That's what it claims.
That's crazy.
So, I just wonder if it's a deal where they go, listen, you pay us $1 million, you can have sex with this woman who is a huge Chinese celebrity. Very beautiful woman, huge Chinese celebrity. That's the deal. And then maybe they split the profits with her or something. This is an insane story.
I know.
Do we want it to be true? Or
yes.
Are we,
yes,
we
of
do.
Course.
Okay.
Yes. Look, we want all women to be prostitutes, don't we?
Deep down.
Deep down inside. Don't we all want to believe that there is some
strip
number.
Away the dignity.
There is some magic number kindness. Someplace that yes. I can pay that can allow me to have sex with anybody.
If. Right. You had $100 million, Lisa. Seriously.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I
Lisa,
thought.
Lisa, that's her price.
I'd do it for $100 million.
Right?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm good.
When I was a kid, you could get a prostitute for $5.
True. It's good old days.
Now it's $100 million.
It's $100 million. No, she made it over 10 years with a bunch of dudes. She didn't just make one. It wasn't one night with Robert Redford.
Right.
He gave her $100 million to have sex.
$10 million a year. That's yeah.
That's great money.
You don't know
that's
how many money. Politicians she was servicing yeah, well. For that $10 million.
Wow, what a story.
Dollar a piece at 10 million politicians.
Could have been the Gigi train. She could have been the Zhang station. Who knows? Who knows what she was had to do for that money?
Single file line, everybody.
By the way, of course, she and her reps claim this is all false, and they're considering legal action, and it's defamatory, and blah, 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 blah. That's
and they'll drop the suit if we have sex with her,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Morgan Freeman is 75 years old today.
I turned 75 years old today.
Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones is 65 years old. Heidi Klum celebrates her 39th birthday. And singer Alanis Morissette celebrates her 38th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Dax Holt from TMZ.com. We have Luke Robitaille from the Kings. We have Ken Marino will be in our studio as well.
Love Ken Marino.
On Monday morning, so tune in then and have a great weekend, everybody.
We're firing Beer Mug, too. That's still on the schedule,
yeah, right?
Tune in for that on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Do not. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Does anybody have any brunch?
Roll another one.
Wake and bake.
Just like the other one.
I smoke a lot of pot.
This one seems to be about to quit.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
And I need another hit.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive and an assistant dean.
damn dumb stoner.
Just like the other one.
Well, let's get baked.
This one seems to be about to end.
This whole place puffs at the wacky tobacco.
I don't have another cent.
Man, what am I smoking? Oh, yeah, but
the Bogart that joined.
Man, I'm so high.
Just pass it around.
I'm going to smoke pot every day.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer.
Now get the hell out of my auditorium.
School's out.
Hey, everybody, it's closing time. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here.
Oh, my goodness! Are you kidding me? How good was that?
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
They are on their feet.
Rugby alerts, everyone. This is not a drill.